Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
exposed.
Oh.
IQ.
Come on, baby mama.
room in your stomach.
You are now listening to the sound of
I might dance on these niggas with the gun in the butt. The gold jimmies, little mirror, little sun in the clutches. Don't slip up, little nigga, put the sun in your nuts. What? Yo, dude, what the fuck if you trust? You gon' run when I hit you, put you under the pump. You won't run with your nigga, now you're close enough to shoot once it's a rope, put you both in the slump, huh? Go ahead, nigga, pop off. You can get your fam and your mans in the shot off. I'ma get the M for your M, blow your top off. Shit funny to the gun in your face. You better run with the nigga, better open the safe. You better come, the money better show up the weight. I'm gon' come with gorillas, cause I run with the ace and put shots in your butt like you wanted to kick, huh?
Do you wanna see? 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 Do queen bee.
Legends, statements, and stars, the legendary Kai Balenciaga presents Take No Prisoners, a night of all-out battling. Who will bring 2013 in with the victory? Will it be him or will it be you? Who's going to win and who's going to lose? With the hottest categories and the hottest competition. Grand Prize, Femme Queen Face, bring a memorable entrance for $1,000. Grand Prize, Butch Queen Performance, the Masters of Vogue, $1,000. Mini Grand, open to all teen, high fashion versus urban streetwear, the dynamic duo, and Mini Grand 2, Schoolboy Realness, the Presidential Award, and other cast categories. The ball date is January 5th, 2013, in Washington, D.C. Legend Stars and Statement will begin at 3 a.m. sharp, and Film Queen Face will be the fifth category of the night. The paparazzi will be in the building, so come dressed to impress. You gotta know what to wear, when to wear it, where to buy it, and how to style it. Get ready to battle, get ready to cheer, cause Take No Prisoners is going to be fierce. Not shady, but fierce.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency show. Hello, chat room. Hello, Facebook group chat. How's everyone doing? Can you guys hear me? Like always, I ask for the support of everyone that's out there just to give me a heads up and let me know you guys can hear me. Someone say something, chat room or other chat room. Thank you so much, Toxic City. How are you? Tonight's show is going to go in a very, very different direction. Because I want people to speak from the heart. I want people to stop being pussy. Stop being a whole bunch of punks and speak about the issues that we are facing right now within our community. Stop holding back. Like, you know, the girls are so afraid to speak their mind because they're afraid they're going to get chopped or it's going to cause house drama or bullshit like that. But then everyone is just complaining about all the shit that is happening. And, you know, as of, you know, right now, you know, people are just taking their little time to come and listen to the show because it's not about gossip and tea, you know. But yet we're dealing with a real major issue here, or a whole bunch of issues, and we need to talk about it because it's pushing people away, and it's causing so much frustration, and it's just, it's just too much happening. And personally, I'm getting tired of it. It's getting really frustrating. And what is the issues that we are facing in ballroom right now? And what are we going to do about it? And maybe if we start calling out people's names and say where they're coming from, that it's like everyone is looking at you. We're pointing the finger at you. Maybe it will start changing. Maybe, you know, it will cause people to back down and back out. I don't know where the, you know, how to fix it. All I know is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I provide you guys a show and a platform for 3 to 4 hours each night. And it's giving you guys something to do. When I decided I wanted to do the show and continue with it for all these years, I did it for the people that sit at home, the ones that don't want to go out and do crazy things, for the ones that, thank you so much for staying up and listening. Thank you. I do it for the people that are sitting at home. I need to put my screen down because I'm trying to talk from my heart, and I'm going to get a whole bunch of interruptions. So let me mute my computer and speak. When I decided to do this show, I did it from my heart, allowing you guys to have a platform to speak. You know, as the community grows and the ballroom scene has grown, we have a lot of people, or the messages that I get are from a lot of people that are out in the outskirts in different cities and states, and they're not in the mecca of ballroom or in those cities and regions where ballroom is, so they kind of feel like outcasts. But when they tune in on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night show, you give them a place where they feel that they're part of something. They feel that they're a part of a family. They feel that they're a part of our community. And eventually they grow with it. You know, it's like putting a voice on the faces that we see all over Facebook. And what we put on, you know, what they see on YouTube and stuff. You know, Kelly does a phenomenal job. You know, no matter how much people like her or not, she does a phenomenal job. And she has for all these years giving you guys, you know, the shows throughout the past few years. And a lot of people who were so opinionated about her for so many years as well have all come to see a different side of her. And, you know, and not just speaking about Kelly, but about a lot of people, you know, including myself. A lot of people don't know me. They go based on what they think, what they heard, and where other people stay in their little get-high circles, which I call them. And they have so, you know, they're so opinionated, but no one really knows, you know, me or has taken the time to know the real me and, you know, how I live my life and stuff. But I feel that by me giving my voice out here and doing the things that I do as well, that I have opened my doors and my heart to a lot of people, and people have gotten to see a side of Jasmine that they never knew, as well as other people that have been on this show, Nicole, Alexis, rest in peace, Jennifer, oh, my God, everyone, Jason, Mark, Tiffany, J-Rock, Naima, everyone that has come and have been a part of the show, and they still are a part of the show. We try our best to entertain. We try our best to keep everyone up to date. And we definitely try our best to try to, you know, kind of work together as one, you know, for you guys or for the community. But right now we're at a state in this ballroom where it's starting to become very, a turnoff. And everyone I talk to, all the cast members, is just very, very frustrated with where we're at, I guess I'm trying to say. Everyone is frustrated. Nobody wants to go to balls. People are tired of doing the shows. People are tired of everything. And I'm pretty much getting to the point where I'm tired of investing my money into it. And, you know, all for what? It's just really getting to the point where it's disgusting. It's really, really sad. And who's to blame? Who do we point the fingers at? We keep sweeping everything underneath the carpet, and we don't want to say anything because we don't want to call out names. But we already know who these people are. But the problem is that the community is not saying it. And I think if the community stands up as one and says where the problems lie, maybe things maybe will start to change. I have always believed in the younger generation. I have always believed in giving them a voice. I'm going to talk for a few minutes because I usually don't come on until 11:45. So I'm just going to talk for a few minutes and I'm just speaking from where, you know, my heart. I've always believed in the younger generation. And I believe in also giving people a voice and giving people a platform. And that's why I do this show, to give you guys an opportunity to come out and speak and not be verbally attacked, not be read, not be hung up on, or any of that. And even people still have their personal feelings about tens or chops. They don't want to call in. They don't want to listen. They all feel negativity. They all want to read the radio shows. But I really think if a person took the time to listen, and not even just listen to me or listen to the show, but listen to what the people are saying, maybe something can be done. But they're not listening. And if they're not listening, how can a change come about? And that's where the issue is with me. That's what I feel. We have so many balls going on week to week. Why? You have the icons and the legends going back and forth with the legends and the icons. It's kind of embarrassing to be an icon. Honestly. You have the commentators and their power struggles of feeling like they are God. I mean, really? Because you're on a mic? Because you're getting paid $200-$300 to get on the mic? You've got people that are fighting and going crazy for fame. You got and titles. And they're literally going crazy. And is this really a reality that we're living in, or is it really a fantasy world? Like, really, what's going on? Because, again, my personal opinion on this, when that ball is over with, none of those things matter no more. It really, really doesn't. And that comes from me. Someone who has been in this scene since the mid-90s, I don't forget where I came from or what created Jasmine Couture. But I knew that I could not continue on the route that I was in with this ballroom scene if I wanted to grow. I was sitting there going to the club every Wednesday night, the mini bowls, and I was drinking, and I was getting high, and I was going through so much, and I knew that I was never going to advance if I continued. I've seen so many people that I was with, they were just completely falling apart. All my sisters and my brothers falling apart, and I feel that God lifted me out of there and said, I need to take you somewhere else, and God sent me to Chicago, and I left the ballroom scene alone. And back then, when I was sent to Chicago, there wasn't Facebook and Twitter, and pretty much we had the internet, but it wasn't as popping as it is now. So I didn't have no ballroom. And when I was in Chicago in like 98, 90, well, it really was 99, there was no balls in Chicago at all. There was just the little pageants and the baton and all the rest of them. There wasn't no balls. So I left the ballroom scene alone, and God blessed me with a wonderful job and a wonderful career. So for all the people that said that, oh, I won the lottery, I did this and I did that bullshit, I fucking got a job and I worked for all these years. And my story can get very deep, and I've shared it before, I'm not going to sit here and share it again, but the bottom line is you have to learn when it stops. You have to learn when enough is enough. And you're never going to move forward. But one thing I can say, and I learned it a lot this weekend when a person came to visit someone, and I realized that, you know, this person is in high school, and I'm looking at, their future. They're talking about high school. They're talking about they don't go to the balls that much. They go to the Kiki balls, but they don't go to the major balls that much. And, you know, they're in high school. They're about to graduate. They're getting prepared for the college and stuff like that. One thing I can say about this generation right now, and somebody tell me if I'm lying when I say this, this generation right now, a lot of them are going to school and finishing school and looking for degrees. They're not really getting caught up the way it was with the generation in the 90s. They're actually going to school and finishing school and working on degrees and still balancing the ballroom a little bit. Not everybody, but there is a lot of them that are doing it. And they're also in the military, and they're also doing a lot of stuff. And those are the future leaders of this ballroom with education, because a lot of these legends and icons right now, you ain't got no motherfucking education at all. And you can tell from their posts on Facebook. Ain't finishing up near one school. Can't spell worth a damn. Let's not even talk about their careers. or what they do for a living. But enough of me talking. I'm going to bring people on now because it's 11:45. I just wanted to share a little bit of that. So, who I'm bringing on right now is Jason and Mark. You're on the air.
Hey, Jazzy Jazz.
Hey, Jasmine. How you doing?
How's it going?
Going well. It's going good.
Yeah, it's going well. It's been a good day.
It's been a little bit of a stressful day for me, celebrating the 30th anniversary of one of my friends' death, who passed away 3 years ago. Very hard ballroom participant, and it just was a lot. But, you know, the day goes on.
Yeah. I know how it is. Definitely know how it is. I'm not sure where everyone is at, so if you guys want to be a part of tonight's show and touch upon tonight's topic, please call in and press 1. If you're in the chat room, send your messages over. If you're on Facebook, send your messages over. And we will talk about, you know, everything tonight. It's a lot. It's a lot. I know a lot of people like to sit back and listen and see who's going to spill tea and all the rest of that stuff, but look in the mirror and look at yourself and really say, you know, what is really wrong with this place and what can we do to fix it? And it all, like I said yesterday, all starts with you. It all starts with your foundation. So, you know, call in. I mean, really, seriously, have something to say. Call in, send your messages through, and let's just see where it goes. I got a couple of callers that are calling in, pressing 1, and then they're pressing 1 again and stuff, but I don't like taking private callers. And all
not tonight, anyway.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's Naeem or not.
I thought
he was able to see her.
Private caller, you're on the
air.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I wanted to know, how do you guys feel about the ballroom thing, about them worrying about the wrong status?
Well, I mean, If you're that worried, to me, in my opinion, if you're that worried about a ball, then any other status must be irrelevant.
They all want to be legendary, and they don't care about having HIV anymore.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it does come up, but when it's raised in a platform such as LGBT community or, you know, something dealing with that, such as HIV awareness or AIDS Day or something like that, people get involved. But like, just like outside the ballroom scene in America, some people are in denial about being HIV positive, so they don't engage in any of it.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thank you. 770-374, you're on the air.
Yes, well, first of all, good evening, everyone. I wanted to say something. This is something about happened a couple of weeks ago, and I've been trying to, I was going to inbox on you, Jasmine, to tell you this, but I was listening to the show, and I think it was Jason and Kelly, they were talking about their experiences growing up, just their families and, you know, what they endured and the kind of parents they had and the families they had. And it touched me. It really touched me because I think sometimes when you're growing up in diversity in your family, you think you're the only person. You don't realize that there are other people that have those same adversaries in their lives and they go through things. And, you know, I thought to myself as I was listening to you speak tonight, I'm like, you know, this show has done a lot of good for me. I'm not in the ball scene. I do a 10 balls. But it's taught me what I didn't want to do. And just by listening to them talk on my days and hearing the things that they've gone through, you know, I educated myself. I went to college. But a part of me, being a New Yorker, a part of me has always wanted to live that life. But I knew that that wasn't the direction for me because I wanted something different. So I think what you guys are doing on here is great. I think the things that you guys say, whether it be in a joking manner or even serious issues, have touched me. It touched me to know that there are people like me, that we're all yet different in one aspect, but yet so similar, that although we may have taken different paths, we kind of have the same beginnings. And I really do appreciate you all, and I hope that you guys continue. And, you know, stop letting these haters get to you. You know, don't let them tell you what you are or not. You know, you can't take nothing they didn't give to you in the first place. You know, I'm a firm believer in that. People can't take anything away from you they didn't give to you.
No, that's right. Well, thank you so much, caller. And I really appreciate that. You know, and it's like those messages that I get all over Facebook and on Instagram and, you know, all over people contacting me saying how much the show touches them and stuff. And I think that's what keeps me around. And, you know, but sometimes it's like, it just gets so frustrating. So, I don't know. But that's why we have more people like Jason and Mark and everyone else, you know. One person just can't do it. It's all of us working as a team. So, 203-999, you're on the air.
Oh, Lord. I got to keep it 100 to say this, but, like, honestly, I never thought I would be into the divorcing like I am right now. Like, even in being in this whole blog group that y'all got, I'm like, damn, yo, I'm like the biggest fan of this shit right now, yo. Like, everything you're saying, everything, like, I always take that shit in. Like, you know, I think really people need to hear this shit a lot. You know,
well,
that's just the way
so
I look
much.
At everything. Yeah,
thank you so much, and spread the love. Spread the message out there. 410-462, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? I just wanted to sit with my brothers and sisters. I just wanted to give a shout-out. And I do think that a lot of positive people, there are a lot of positive people out there, and I think we need to start, like, focusing on them and the positive things that Ballroom do for people or the radio show opposed to the negative. I think that a lot of us in the community need to do that. You know what I'm saying? Be it via star statement or legend or whatever. I think everybody should do that. I think somebody was saying they were going to do that in one of the rooms, pick one person and focus on the good things they've done. I think that we need to do that to draw attention, like positive attention towards it.
Some of us do that. Some of us do that individually. I know, I mean, as much as people see me on Facebook, you know, go off or whatever the case may be in certain groups, I do give kudos and give people all types of praises for some of the things they do as well, especially in ballroom, because it's hard when you're being judged and critiqued by people who just basically sometimes nowadays just want to get a rise out of you or basically want to do something to get a response from you as far as, or just be shady. And it really, you know, there's really no reason for it. I do tell people, oh, I think you're great. I mean, I was just telling Janice how, you know, I mean, she put me out of her group, and, you know, she's a Femme Queen performance girl, but at the same time, I said, honey, you go down. I really think that you've been shaded over the years. I mean, just because she put me out of her group doesn't mean I'm not going to, you know, acknowledge her, live for her vogue. So, I mean, it just works out that way sometimes with different people. If you sit around and you endure it and you take it in that way, then that's how it's going to come across. People say nasty things to me all the time, but I just don't take it in that way. So it just becomes something nasty that they said.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have a private caller again. I guess I'm looking for Naima. Private caller, you're on the air.
I don't know. I know you get frustrated and stuff, but why you gotta discriminate against the private callers? I don't call in here with no mess. I'm just listening here. And I just want to send a shout out to the House of Fella. And this is the overall Step Mama Fella.
All right.
Don't put me back on mute. Oh, but one more thing. I want to propose to Jason because you know the world finna end and we need to make us a little seed. Don't put me back on mute.
Shit. Okay.
Wow.
Oh, fuck. Me.
Shit. That's exactly what she wants to do.
All right.
Shit.
If anybody's on the phone lines and you want to tune in and sit with the panel tonight, please press 1, and we'll bring you on. But right now we have Jason, Mark, and Enrique, and I guess other people will come on. But I do want to ask a couple of questions. We have all sat down and talked about this on shows before, but maybe sometimes you just gotta, it's like taking a dog. I have 2 of them, and you have to just constantly do it and train them over and over and over again. Maybe people just need to keep hearing it. What do you feel, and one by one, I'll start with Jason, Mark, and then Enrique, go based on the way you guys called in. What do you feel right now, looking at the promo for tonight's show, what do you guys feel about the power struggle that is out there, and the power struggle that is happening between the legends and the icons, the power struggle that is happening with balls, commentators, the fame, the money, everything in general. What do you feel is the major issue out of all of them? And, well, that's the first question. What do you feel is the major issue? It's not my job to say names. It's everyone else's job to say names. That's why I give you guys the platform to do it. So go ahead, Jason.
The main issue that I seem to have is that there are just too many egos.
Okay.
Because too many people have been girlfriends from the 90s, from the 80s to the 90s to now. So these girls, these people have history. They have friendships. They have bonds that they sometimes don't want to break, or they don't want to hurt people's feelings because they think that they're going to lose a friend if they say something. They want to say something. They want to stand up. They want to be down for the cause. They want to change, but because of other people, peer pressure or fear pressure, they don't really speak up. They're not really trying to do what they want to. They're not really trying to do what they need to do. They want somebody else to do it, and then once somebody else does it, they can want to stand in the dark or stand in a corner and say, "Yeah, that's right." And once everybody else comes to the light, then they want to stand, they want to come out and say, "Well, I was a part of that, and I was down for that from the beginning." If we can't even meet on or agree on simple things, on small things, how the hell are we supposed to agree on big things? Now, you want to have all these committees, and this is a conversation that me and Enrique had over Thanksgiving. This is how I feel about it. If you want to do it the political way, then every single ball walker has a vote, has a voice. Then you hold an election, and you vote for the people, that you let the people decide who should be the leaders and who should be in charge and who should be running these things. Not let icons and legends who can't even agree to disagree decide what 3 people are going to do this or what 4 people are going to do that. You can't even all be on the same can. From what I hear, y'all can't even be on the phone together and get something accomplished. So if we put so if you want to strip statuses, then strip everybody's status and make everybody the same. Or bring outside people in who have no common interests, who people like me who are not in a house, who have no desire to be in anybody's house, but who care about ballroom, who's not going to take sides and show favoritism to one person over another, people that are not going to have fear in their heart because you threaten me or you say something to me that you're going to do something to me. If you put people in positions that, okay, you don't fear me, I don't fear you, you can't intimidate me, you will respect me as I respect you, and we can agree to disagree to get this done, things will get better. But as long as there's the fear factor and your ego is in charge, it's not going to work.
Okay. So your issue is the fear factor.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that people's egos are at play and people are... Okay, I got you. Okay. Mark, what's your opinion?
My issue is the fame. The thing about the fame is that even in the real industry, a lot of people tend to take fame and kind of like run hard with it. And, you know, it kind of crashes for some, and then some are able to, you know, do it over or, you know, get help or whatever and come back, make a comeback. But the thing about fame is that it's a price with it. And it seems like a lot of the people have paid the price, but now with the fame, it's so much new stuff coming in that they don't want to let go of that fame. It's like their ticket. So now that you've got the new generation coming in, new stuff is coming in, new ideas are coming through, they're not willing to share and open up to any new opportunities or, you know, possibilities of anything. It's like, well, bitch, I'm an icon, I'm a legend, I know what I'm talking about. Now, not every icon and every legend is like that, because you have your non-bitter icons and legends, i.e. my father, Tommy LaBeija. It's certain people that are not bitter. But, I mean, these people, they have just this assumption, or even when they get the status, they totally change. Like, I know people right now who are, like, new icons and new legends, and I look at them and I'm like, are you serious? Like, I've watched you do almost nothing to get this. Are you serious, like, acting this way? You know, but I don't say anything because I really don't, you know, indulge with them anyway. But I really have a problem with some of the things that they do. And then this taps into what Jason was just talking about. It comes with a fear for some new people, I guess, that they fear what can possibly happen. No, I'm not going to get in on this topic. No, I'm not going to press one in a state of emergency and say anything because I'm going to get chopped. You know, like, it's just, it's a lot. You know what I mean? And at the price of them getting what they got, we're paying the price by being treated and things going the way that they're going now, i.e. this is, you know, this whole retracting status and all this other stuff. I mean, it's just, it's crazy that this type of fame has taken off so much that it's making other people want to turn the other way. And I personally, honestly, don't care, because I've said it on many of shows, and I said anywhere, you bitches can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want at a ball, because I'm going to be standing there stoned out of my mind. So do whatever it is that you do. It doesn't bother me. I don't even pay attention to that stuff that go on no more. You can have the $30, honey. It's not that serious. But I will not come out to be robbed and cheated the way that things are going with the panels and people, you know, getting chopped for no reason. And so just, it's a mess. It's really a mess. And I feel like the fame for some of these people has made them to, it's like, well, I can do that because I'm so-and-so. It's bullshit, because you're discouraging new people, new talent that's trying to get out there, and you're still on this bandwagon of your girlfriend on it. Let it go. Like, let it go. You want to, you know, can we pass the torch a little bit? I was in the conversation earlier in a ballroom news group, and they were talking about, I listened to Eric Milan, and he said something about passing the torch down. You know what I mean? When someone else is ready to take over his father or somebody in the house, you know, he passed the torch down with pride. And I thought that was a very honorable thing. Most people don't think that way because why? They don't want to let go of that fame. Give it up.
Why do you feel that people... Well, okay, I'll go back to that. Go ahead, Enrique, and then I'll go back to a question.
My main problem that I see as, like, I guess it can coincide with the fear thing, is the politics. I think the politics has gotten so out of hand in this scene that it sucked the fun literally out of the balls. You know what I'm saying? Because you have kids who really do want to participate, who spend a lot of money, and let's make this clear, not everybody crafts. People actually do have jobs, be it work at Wendy's, be it work for the government or the state, and they actually spend, because I know my daughter for a fact, she spends her coin and get all her effects, and she does what she needs to do. But it's just crazy when you sit on a panel, you know in your heart who should have won. And it doesn't happen because of the politics. Because you know that it's politics. Because when the judges pick, they do a blank, they look straight in the air, or they shrug their shoulders. I even see people shrug their shoulders at the person who they think they should pick and point to the other person. You know, to me, that's letting me know, you know that you should have picked him, and you know. Everybody knew that. So I kind of think it's more so the politics, whose politics has gotten so bad to the point where we keep saying that it is driving the kids away from the real scene and going towards the Kiki scene. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Okay. Let me go to a caller real quickly. 646-266, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm here, Mark.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, Alexis.
Hey, let me say this. Oh, go ahead. What's your name?
I was going to say I don't know your number by heart. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, let me say this. I talked to someone today, and it made a lot of sense. First, before we start pointing at everybody else, everyone needs to take blame for what they have done. We all have contributed to the demise of the ballroom scene in some shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine, I love
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I agree. I don't hold that one back.
I love you,
I
but you, hold, let me say this. You have corrupted the scene. Whether you did it, let me say this, not intentionally.
Yep.
I think your intentions, well, I ain't going to say I think. Your intentions were good, but you started something that has fucked up the scene.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I remember I came out, it was just 2005, and I think you had just had the first collections ball. What year was the first? What year did Raquel win the
2005.
Okay. When I came out, it was no. The girls was coming out for $100, $200, $500. The first ball I ever attended, I think the grand prize was like $1,500. The girl, and now it's like, bitch, how much they giving out? And it's like, it's not worth it. Granted, craft, we had this conversation before. Craft is not like it used to be. So, yes, it is becoming a high-priced thing to walk balls because you got to pay for travel, you got to pay for hotel, you got to, you know, it's not easy to travel like it used to be, you know. But we also, everyone has to take account for what they have done. We have to stop pointing fingers at the icons and the legends. And we have to take responsibility for the things that we have done. We have to remember that it takes more than one person to fuck up a situation.
Uh-huh.
Right. That's true.
So let's start there. Okay, I wholeheartedly believe that, yes, we do need the pioneers and all of them to set down a blueprint, a foundation. But the newer icons that's just getting into their icon status or in legends, let me say something. Sometimes people feel upset because this person got deemed before them. Well, girl, I'm sorry. It happens. How many times have you been on a job and got looked over for a position? Did you quit your job? You complained it kept on going, right?
Are you talking to people on the phone?
I'm asking a question.
Okay.
So you kept going. You well, girl, I get it the next time. And it's just like that. We have to learn that. Come on, it's not. The pioneers, they need to learn that, okay, I have done my part.
Right.
There's a new set that is coming in. It's time to sit back and let them do the work. It's time to let the Harolds, the Jasmines, the Rodneys, the Shay Shays,
right.
The Kianas, the whoever. I mean, and I'm not saying because Stewart, Andre, Tony Revlon, and the rest of them, they have laid a foundation. But we all need to come together. Those icons, the newer icons that were just deemed legends or whatever, and the younger generation, everyone has a say-so in this community because we all have to be here together. Now, Jason, I don't think there's no way in hell that everybody will be able to sit down and take a vote and do it. It's going to just be too much.
Listen, Alexis, the same way you do, I mean, maybe that's just me living in utopia or whatever, but the same way each state, you don't have to do it all at one time. The same way they hold an election, you can do it state by state, and each house does it, and then it's all
you know what? Half of the people don't even know half of the people in their house.
Right.
Well, that's because of the big houses. I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true, but...
So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a little far-fetched.
Said, Alexis, it's very hard for not even just going to balls. It's very hard to just travel anyway. And people are opening up houses from East Coast over on Gulf Coast and, you know, south on the South and everything. So it's kind of hard to travel for some people that actually don't work or, you know, get unemployment or just might have, like, a mediocre job. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
Hard to travel and, you know, get those people here to try to, you know, meet those people. But some of the people, icons and legends that are here now, they have been able to share some of the, obviously, you know, pass the torch to somebody else somewhere else. But where they reside or where they are, they want to take control. And you have some people that want to take control from halfway across the world.
Let me say something, because a lot of people in the chat room are talking about me and the money and everything like that. Let me explain something really quickly, okay? I'm going to explain something very, very quickly. When I left the ballroom scene in 98, and I moved to Chicago, there was no ball. But I was introduced, and I did know about it prior because I lived in Atlanta for a little bit, and I did know about the, you know, the pageant scene and stuff. But when I was introduced in Chicago, when I moved to Chicago, I was introduced into the Continental Circuit. And, you know, I was looking at the pageants. I was around the pageant girls with Amelia Black, that, you know, she was the Chanel at the time. I hung around her. I used to go to the Pecan and stuff. And I seen that these people were competing, and they used to work all year long for that one pageant that they would grace the stage and win. And it was like the ultimate grand prize for them. Yeah, they had all their little pageants, all Miss This, Miss That, Miss Newcomer, Miss, you know, Local, Miss This, Miss That. But it was that one pageant that they were breaking their necks for. And I come from the ballroom scene. So I said, eventually, why can't the ballroom scene have that one ball or that one grand prize? And that was my purpose for starting the $5,000 trend, my own trend. Just like Jim Flint in the Continental System, he has his little girls every year. I wanted to have my own collection of $5,000 winners because I knew I wasn't going to do a ball every month. I wasn't going to do a ball even every year. My collection fall is like every 2 years. So I wanted to have that one ball where that one person or that one group or that one house would be honored every 2 years with that large grand prize. That's what I did. That was my goal. But, of course, the ballroom scene is very competitive. And you have me opening the door, and then you have a whole bunch of people following behind. I never asked those people. They could have all kept it at $500 and $1,000, $1,500 grand prize balls. It was the other people that came behind me. Oh, she can do it, I can do it. Oh, wow, look what she did. So now they want to come behind me and do it. That never was my goal, to paint this ballroom scene with money. If anyone ever questions what Jasmine has done in this ballroom scene, look what I've done since 2005 till now. I've been in this ballroom scene. I've been a part of the ballroom scene since the early mid-90s. And I left for a few years to get my life together on track. But I came back and never forgot where I came from to give back. I didn't have to give back, but to give back, to help people help change people's lives the way my life has been changed. And that was my goal. But other people came behind me, and then it started. It started as other people wanted to give these large grand prizes, and other people couldn't do it. See, no matter what anyone says, no one can do what I have done, because what I do, it comes from the heart. I work for what I do. I don't depend on a door. I don't depend on a crowd. I work for what I do, and my goal for what I do is change a person's life, not to get anything, to benefit from it. Because at the end of the evening, when I come back home and I work, I'm good. But that's what my goal is. But what people have come and did is they even shitted on my name and shitted on what I started and what I created. But I do take blame for what I have done, because maybe I shouldn't have done it. Do I regret it? No, not really. I just wish it would have went in a different direction. But I guess that's where it is with ballroom. Everything is competitive. Someone always is trying to stand on top. That never was my goal. Never wanted that. But because of that, you have that with the balls. Whose ball is going to be better than the next one? Whose title is going to be better than the next one? Who is going to be the better icon, the better legend, the better pioneer? And because we're so competitive and we're always at each other to try to overshine and outshine the next person, I think that is the major reason these problems are happening. And that's just personally my opinion on it. If we can stop trying to act like we're on the runway and work towards a better way for not just for us, but for the younger generation and the ones that are out there in school right now, in high school, in college, and the ones that are going to be here, I think that will maybe start something. But because you're right, we can't do it. We can't even get on the phone without arguing. We can't be in a group without going back and forth. We can't be together without somebody throwing, child, you ain't this, you ain't that, I'm tired of this, and I'm over it, and I'm leaving, and everybody want to kiss somebody's ass, oh, don't leave, come back, and Jeff, what the hell is this? We all grown. I don't understand this. And we always want to compare the ballroom scene to the industry, like we're celebrities. But you don't see this shit happening like that there. Not the way it's happening here. How can we even compare? Houses can be like fucking record companies. The awards balls and stuff can be like the fucking Grammys and American Music Awards and stuff. Bottom line is, if you start fucking up your name and fucking up your career, you're fucking up your name, your career, your record company's career, just like your house's career or whatever. But why are we still trying to act like, personally, I don't feel, my opinion, I don't feel we need like a board. We already deal with too much politics. Now we have to have a political board to control a whole bunch of grown people. I don't see that. I just personally don't understand that. I think we need to start focusing on us and focusing on what we are doing. And that's, so I think that is just where the problem lies. But, I mean, again, I'm with anything to help change it. That's just where my opinion, that's my opinion on it. Sometimes I just be going all over the place. 216-862, you're on the air.
It's me, Jasmine.
Hey, Vonda, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What's your opinion on all this? How long have you been listening?
I've been listening for a while. I guess I'll reserve my opinion until I hear more, because I got in like kind of late. But as I heard you, I heard what Alexis was saying, then I heard what you were saying, but I didn't hear anything before that.
Okay. Stop putting videos in the chat room, please. Yes, put it out, put people on blast, hold them accountable. I think a lot of people want, and this is what I'm going to do, callers, chat room, everyone. I want to know, who do you feel, like Alexis just came in, Alexis, I love Alexis, she has respect, but she didn't hold back and say, she blames me for certain things that have happened. I respect that. I'm not going to read, hold it against her or anything. I agree with it. I take fault for what I have done in this team. Okay, so that's it. But I want other people to be able to do exactly what she has done. Call in and say, who do you blame and what do you blame them for? Let it be known. Put them out there. Let it be known. I already know you're not going to do it. I know a lot of y'all ain't going to do it. You're going to call in private and, you know, or whatever. But if you do it, go ahead and do it. And it's not for nobody to read and call them. Oh, you know, they're talking about you on the radio. That's all that bullshit. Because those same people that you should be calling, be like, wow, they're talking about you. You need to listen. But well, who, not even a person. It could be a promoter. It could be a house. It could be a group of individuals. It could be one individual. It could be a commentator. It could be anything. What do you feel is the problem? And who do you point the finger at? 302-287, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just got a question. This is Jay or whatever, but, okay, you said everybody's supposed to be grown or whatever the case may be. Well, why do you want to know who, what, when, where, or whatever the case may be? Why do you want to play, like, the blame game or whatever? Like, if you feel like something needs to be changed or whatever, then that's what needs to be addressed. What do you feel needs to be changed in the scene to make it a better scene? It doesn't matter who did what or who is to blame. Like, that shit's in the past. Like, if you want to work towards the future for the younger generation or what you said, what needs to be changed in the scene? And like,
we've talked about what needs to be changed in the scene for over a year.
Okay,
we've done that a million times. Now
okay, well, what is pointing the finger at? What is pointing the finger at different people? What's that going to accomplish?
What is that going to accomplish is going to let people know that that's where the root is coming from. And it's not pointing the finger at individuals. It's pointing the finger at the whole picture, the whole thing in general. What do you feel is a problem in the ballroom scene? What is your major issue?
To be honest with you, I can't really say, but I would say that I think people need to do it, just like you said, kind of be adults and do what they got to do in their own personal lives to make it better. You know what I mean? To be, live and leave as an example for the younger generation.
Okay. So you feel that people need to focus more on themselves?
Yeah, I think people need to focus more on themselves and realize that there is life outside the ballroom scene.
I agree with you 100%.
As far as that goes, because people need to worry about their, like, their health. People need to worry about, like, having a job. People need to worry about getting out of people's houses, living on people's floors and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So much more stuff that people need to be worried about. You feel me? Because none of that legendary status and all that extra shit. Like, and I feel like when people get themselves better as a person, then you can go give yourself to a ball. Not really give yourself, but indulge in other things and have more of a positive outlook. And you won't take shit so seriously because at the end of the day, you know, you can go home and be good.
Right. I think a lot of people are giving themselves to a ball 100%. That's why a lot of this problem is going on, because that's, you know, it's like they're invested in it or they're investing
right,
in it.
To be honest with you, I'm not even... I don't walk balls or nothing like that. I got friends and, like, aunties and my shit like that. You know what I mean? I go frequent them, but I'm not in that because I feel like it's just too much. Like, even if especially just going there and seeing, it's just too much. It's too fucking much. Like, you can go see people, like, you can, somebody can not win a category or something like that and be, like, pissed off at the next bitch just because they didn't win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that serious. It's a competition. Somebody went and somebody fucking lose.
You're right. Well, thank you so much, caller. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. We have a private caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hello, Jasmine. This is 15.
Hey, 15. 15.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Alexis. Hi, Jason.
Hey.
And
hey, 15.
Everyone else. I just wanted to say, I think this topic, I noticed, you know, I've been listening to the show for quite some time now, for a few years now. And we talk about this, like, a lot, you know, this topic a lot, day in, day out, Monday through Wednesday, basically. But I think there's a lot of problems. Starting off, I think there's too many balls, first off. You know, it's a ball Monday through Sunday. There's a ball every day of the week. And it gets very, you know, it's getting very tiresome. It's, you know, it's just getting very boring. It's draining everyone. So that's why I think the girls don't even come out no more, because it's like, I mean, damn, like, when, you know, like, it's a ball every week. The girls are hacking people's Facebook, you know, throwing events. And, like, Al Vernian, for example, he has an event, like, once every 2 weeks. Like, it's like a biweekly paycheck with him. Like, every 2 weeks he's throwing a ball. I don't get that.
Okay.
You know, it's like, you know, I just don't understand. I think that instead of thinking about a ban list, they need to put maybe a ball promoter list for, like, each region on who can throw a ball and how many times they can throw one per year, maybe once a year or once every other year. Maybe that would reduce, I guess, the activity of balls. As well as... I also think that if people would have something to do Monday through Friday, I think, you know, they would enjoy the scene a little bit more.
Right.
You know, like, if you don't have a 9-to-5, do something. You know, just do something. I don't care what you do, how you get your money, but do whatever. Just do something. You know, but after you do something, you know, go to a movie. Go play a video game instead of watching ball DVDs all day. Instead of watching ball DVDs all day, or instead of talking to your girlfriend about how you got shaded, like, over the weekend. Like, girl, like, come on. Like, find something to do with your life. Enjoy life to the fullest. You know, just enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember there was a time, I don't mean to cut you off, but I remember there was a time when I had, like, that ballroom fever that a lot of the kids have, and it wasn't hard for me to have ballroom fever, I guess, because there was only a ball every other month, you know what I mean, or something like that. So it really wasn't hard for me to have ballroom fever. I still had time to go to school. I still had time to, you know, work and do what I had to do. But now it's kind of hard for kids that got ballroom fever to go out and do anything because it's a ball, like you said, every fucking day.
Right.
I think you're absolutely right, 15. In fact, we was at a meeting for the health department in Baltimore. We were talking about different things that people do, and people brought up a ball. But we decided that we were going to try to do other things, like have bowling parties, skating parties, other things that people can build camaraderie outside of the balls. You know what I'm saying? Just do get a lot of other things for people to do, have, like, movie night, all of that. Because all of that people will come to. Because all in all, people just want to go out and hang out with their friends. Be it a ball, be it bowling, be it movies and stuff like that, because we had a skate night a couple of times, and they went over rather well. Same with the bowling thing. People just came out to have fun, because that's what you want to do when you're that age, or even our ages. We just want to have fun. So you're absolutely right. Maybe we need to start concentrating on different, like, social events other than balls, like maybe a skating, like a big skating thing.
I just think that if the kids would stop promoting a lot of these ball promoters, then... You know, maybe the ball promoters would get a point and stop throwing these balls, and then, you know, hopefully, you know, like Watch the Throne, for example. Watch the Throne was a very good ball. You know, the way Dante had promoted the ball and everything, and Lisa, they did a very good job. But have you noticed that after that ball, every ball has been tired?
Right.
Let me say this, 15. You know what I think the problem is? We have to start at home.
Yes.
We have to, as leaders of our houses, we shouldn't allow every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Jane to throw a ball.
Yes.
We have to start at home. Like, we have to take it back to home. Before we can come together as a community, we need to go back to home. You know
If you're, okay, I'm going to use the Ebony's for, well, I'm going to use the Chanel's egg for example. Everybody can have a ball and carry the last name Chanel. You have to get prop, you have to get, well, when I was in Chanel, you had to get approval. You had to go to Fred and say, okay, Daddy, listen, this is what I want to do. You know, this is my category. This is my, you know, you had to get it together. And even then, in Atlanta, you had to take it to the council. You had to go, you know, so it's like you had to go through protocol, proper protocol. But now it's like, girl, please, I'm going to have me a motherfucking ball.
Right.
Then the house don't come support. You want to read the house members because they didn't support. But y'all should have stopped him from the beginning.
Right.
So we can't, once again, y'all, we have to stop pointing fingers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Tempers, that video with all the kikis and all the reeds and all the shade, Tempers said something on that video that we have to remember. The ballroom scene will build you up.
To tear you down.
And tear you down.
To tear you down.
All right, absolutely.
Now, when we first came in the scene, when I first entered the scene in 2005, bitch, let me tell y'all something. Miss Tavy, the big girl from Atlanta, bitch, you couldn't tell me nothing when it came to Drag's Realness. Bitch, I won one ball and was of the year in Atlanta. Next year, I was of the year, and I was of the year in fucking D.C. I was on a winning spree. I was nominated in other states. But, bitch, all that came to a screeching halt.
Mm-hmm.
And it humbled me. That's why even all the things that I have been through over the past 8 years in this scene, I don't regret none of it. Would I do some of those things over? No, I wouldn't, because you know what? I learned a valuable lesson throughout these 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not above nobody. I put my pants on just one leg like everybody else. We have to stop blaming everybody else for the shit that we have done and let happen. Once we as a community, as a house, as an individual, take the blame for what we have done and for what we have let happen, we will not get past this
point. But that's everyone, correct, Alexis?
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying, everyone. The Allures, the Cons, the Chanels, the Ebonys, the Mizrahis, all of them. Everybody, just because they got a name should not be having a ball.
Correct.
And if they are, your house should be responsible. If anything, fuck up.
Right.
We gotta learn that we all have a say so.
Right.
But then when shit go, we like, oh girl, well you know I ain't had nothing to do with that.
Knowing damn well they did, or they
when it was
fight,
going
right.
on, when
right.
it was going on. It was like, oh, girl, you know, my house, I'm having a ball, whatever, whatever. I'm going down to Philly, whatever, whatever. And it's like, come on. Yes, we do need a good. Bitch, let me tell you something. If the world didn't have no kind of law order, do you know what kind of fucked up place this place would already be? It's already a fucked up place. Could you imagine how much fucked up it would be?
Right.
So, yes, we do. We do.
Now,
we need
I'm
something.
I'm sitting here looking at Caesar. Post he made a post about, you know, that event that took place tonight, and
right.
he's sitting there giving shout outs to, like, you know, Kelly Osbourne and Fergie and stuff, and I guess it was like a really nice successful event. We have people in the industry that do want to be a part of what we have here.
I wouldn't dare.
And yes, exactly. And
I wouldn't dare.
Really, really sad. It's really sad because they, and you know, not saying that nothing negative towards them, because you see them all on RuPaul's Drag Race and stuff. They just love the girls. We just
right.
are people that they love. You know, they love our talent. They love our creativity. They love our humor. They love our shade. They just love our profession in general. But could you imagine how embarrassing it is to think that we see? It's really, really sad. I have given so many balls already, and do you know that I have gotten calls? I've had people reach out and say from different agents and stuff they wanted to know more about it and stuff. And I've never been celebrity struck. And so I would just kind of blow them off a little bit because I wouldn't want my name to be tainted like that.
Right.
I already know what's happening in the scene. I already know what we're walking into. I sit here and I go, and when I deal with it, like with the last collection fall, I sat here and I told the people at the venue, this is what you're going to expect. I want you to know what you're going to. Oh, we give all these underground parties. We deal with hip-hop artists and new business. Okay, as long as you know you're dealing with that. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I'm letting you know what's going to happen.
Right.
And as long as you're going to accept that, then that's fine. I really wouldn't want what we have out there to be, until we can get it together, then we have to get it together because there's so many other people that want to be a part of this. Just like the listeners that we have that call in. I never knew about the ballroom scene. I'm learning about the groups. I'm learning about the radio show. I just don't expect things, but it's too much. I'm not a part of a house. It's too much. Da-da-da-da-da. They want to be a part of it. They want to maybe contribute. They maybe want to participate, but it's still too much. Well, when is it going to not be too much no more? What are we going to do about it?
Jasmine, the bad thing is that there's nothing we could do about it because we waited too long. It's been since I would say about 2004. I wouldn't say 2004. I would give it about 2006. That's when it started to become draining.
Since you know what? It has been fucked up for a long time. You're right.
Right.
But we need to start, and we can't change that. We can't. There's nothing we can do about the past right now because that was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bitch, if we could change the past, then a lot of us wouldn't be in certain situations that we're in. A lot of us wouldn't have criminal records. A lot of us wouldn't, we wouldn't be fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't.
But the only thing we can do is move forward.
Exactly.
And better yourself for today and not tomorrow.
Exactly.
Right.
From here on out, we need to focus on what can we do instead of blaming, oh, girl, Miss Thing, so she was too busy getting high. Instead of blaming, I told y'all last night, when you point one finger,
mm-hmm.
and if you point it the right way, bitch, you got three more pointing back at you. So let's take the bigger blame.
Well, Alexis, we need to do this as a community. And I think as a community, we have to get together. And I think there's such a division in our community that it's to build obstacles. But we can knock down those divisions and work well as a group. We could do that, honestly. We can do that.
I do, too. I just think it's going to have to go with a chain of command.
Is this going to have to go with a chain of command?
Because I would never see everyone sitting down together and it not being chaotic.
Yeah.
Because you got attitude.
Because you have egos.
You got the ego.
You do have that, but that's life.
Friend.
That's life.
Yeah.
Right, that is life. But
that's life.
The point. You know,
but
if people
need,
put their egos on a shelf, then it would help. It would help
out. It's hard for a lot of people to do that, and we know that.
They can't do it in real life, so what do you think? Y'all, listen, we got to remember, this is supposed to be extracurricular activity.
Nah, Alexa, I already said that before. This is real life.
Alexa said it used to be extracurricular. Now the girls are making it as a job. It's their career.
Because you know what? Let me tell you something. Because at first it was a secret society.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we do have internet, it's not as secretive anymore.
Nope. Not at all.
You understand? So now it's just like, okay. Now, with that being said, like I said, from here on out, we have to start from here. What can we do? What can we do? We can't, there's no sense in talking about we're going to take statuses back. Let me tell you something. A lot of people like to hear this talk, okay? I'm just going to say that. And no, I'm not calling no names. If it don't apply, let it fly. Because guess what? You know what? If you take somebody else's status back that you didn't give, the icon that did deem that person, how does that make them feel?
It's going to be a vicious circle. That's what's going to happen because they're going to be taking somebody else's.
Once again, I'm not legendary icon. It's not even, I don't care. When I came to the scene, it was all about
walking. Win, lose, or draw, when I walked out the door, I was the same person that walked in. Whether I walked out with cash, walked out with my feelings hurt, or walked out with trophies.
We have a lot of let's just see what they want to say. I don't want to keep them on hold so long because, you know, they be getting frustrated. But I just want to go to them real quick. 201-780, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Okay. I mean, I was listening to everyone's comments, and it's really good comments everyone's making. So I wrote down a few things that in terms of what I feel are some of the issues in the ballroom scene. The first thing is that I feel that a lot of the leaders in the houses are not really taking time to really groom some of the newer members in the house. I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with because the houses are so big, but to my understanding, even the bigger houses have small chapters and things like that. So I think that the leaders should be making sure that the people in the chapters are grooming the newer people to make sure that they prepare themselves for balls and that they know how to act, you know, accordingly when they go to balls. Because I just think a lot of it now is just so rushed, and maybe that's one of the reasons why there's so many balls, because everyone now is so gung-ho to get their status so fast. And I think that puts a lot of pressure on these leaders to give out statuses when these people are not really earning it. Another point is, There's a lack of consistency in the ballroom scene. Like, you know, for almost a year and a half, you know, people talked about status, they talked about the band list, and now there's nothing. You know, so it's like there's just no consistency. So people coming into the scene seeing that, you know, people are really not standing for anything. a lot of times y'all have, like 15 said, this topic keeps coming up and nothing is resolved. And people are getting tired of, you know, hearing people discussing it but not really coming up with any type of solutions. Another point is I feel that they should cut back on so many large cash categories and balls. I think if they eliminate some of that, that it would start bringing people out who are really serious about participating in balls. You know, I'm talking about going back to maybe like 2000s, the early to mid-2000s, where people were really still coming out for trophies. And, you know, there were a few grand prize categories for cash, but now these, again, like 15 said, a lot of people now walking balls just to get money, you know what I mean? I think if you took some of that away, they would have to focus on going back to school, getting jobs, and things like that, because most of these younger people that are coming to balls now, they don't have anything. So, you know, these cash categories mean everything to them. Another point is I feel like there's too many personal agendas when it comes to dealing with issues in the ballroom scene. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have promoters, you have icons and legends. You know, for them it's all about fame and status as well. So, you know, you can't expect these people to go back and change things that they have done because, again, how is that going to make them look, you know? Because a lot of these people, most of their motives in terms of the things that they want to do in the ballroom scene, it's like personal agendas. You know, they may want to put the band list on 1 week, then the next week they don't want to, but maybe some of their kids are supposed to be on
their kids
list.
On it, exactly.
It's just too many personal agendas, you know what I'm saying? And then finally, I would just say if, you know, most of you people have sat on panels, y'all judges, y'all have status and stuff like that, you know, I don't think we should just stop coming on the shows and complaining about it. When y'all sit on the fucking panel, chop them if y'all don't see it. That's where you can stop all the bullshit. Like, it just, you know, at the end of the day, who's going to, like, contest your chop? Like, if you don't see the person's status, just chop them. And you know, this is a democracy. If they don't agree with it, then they just stop coming on and walking balls. It's just that plain and simple. If most of the people on the panel
What's happening right now.
Yeah, that is what's really happening.
People are stopping and not coming out. This is why you have, oh, well, she ain't nobody. She never really did anything. Mind you, she's been out there the years at a time, but you never really seen her because you never really paid attention. So now you're sitting here and you're chopping her because you really don't know her.
You know what, Mark and Alexis and everyone, Jasmine, the thing about the status thing, I don't get it. It's like, okay, when you go to a job, when they ask you for your work history, do you sit there and tell them, oh, I'm legendary for Fem Queen Space and I did this and that? I mean, come on, you can't put that on a resume. So to me, status don't mean shit. Like, it doesn't
well,
mean
to
anything.
To a lot of people, they hold on to that, like, for their life. They really do, because, again, it is their claim to ticket and to fame.
This all boils back to what 15 said, and I truly believe in this. If you had other things to do in your life,
mm-hmm.
exactly,
then none of this really would matter to you. And I, just like with me, what I do for the ballroom thing every year, every once, you know, once or twice a year or so, or every 2 years or so, I do because I want to give back to what created Jasmine Couture, but I don't live and breathe by it. You know, when the show is off, I'm either catching up with another one or two of my TV shows. You know, I work evening shifts. So I'm, you know, sitting down working. It's not about a ball. I am not on nobody's YouTube. I may glance at a couple of pictures because I want to see my brothers and my sisters out there and stuff like that. But I'm not blue about this. I do so many other things. Just like before the show tonight, I was sitting there watching one of my favorite TV shows, American Horror Story. I do things, playing video games, like you said, 15. I do so many other things, going to the movies. You know, there's just so much stuff that I do. And even with Jason and, you know, Mark, and we have our conversations sometimes before the show, after the show, and stuff. We're not always talking about balls. Me and Jason constantly playing a game together about music and stuff. It's not about ball-related things like that. Me and Jahira play games on Facebook. You know, it's not about balls and stuff like that. We talk about so many things. I can call people like Harold up, and he can help me with ideas about, you know, health insurance and stuff. It's not about balls like that. You know, it's just you got to find other things in your life to kind of, you know, fill in those gaps. And then it's like going to a ball. Then it's like, okay, I haven't seen everybody for a while. I haven't competed. I want to let my hair down. I've been working so hard all week. I've been going to school all week. I've been doing this all week and stuff like that, or all month or whatever. And now I want to go out and hang out and stuff. You know, but it's not like that no more. You know, people are just so glued with the ball. I remember where it used to be the girls would go to a ball every once in a while, but it was always about going to the club. The club.
Right.
You know,
right.
Going to the club, you know, going to the Paradox, or going to, you know, downtown.
Tracks. You couldn't keep me out of Tracks.
It would be about going to the club. Nobody talks about going to the club no more.
Right.
It's always about a ball. You know, and, you know, what about the club and hip-hop night and Latin night and house night and Coachella? We don't talk about that. We talk about a ball.
Right.
You're right. And that's because there's just so much. It's just so much with the ball.
But, Jasmine, you know, a lot of younger girls are getting scared basically, let me say it like this. I'm just going to put it out there. Okay, for example, say you have a ball promoter. Well, this is what they're doing nowadays. Okay, if they're throwing a ball, let's say they're throwing a ball next Saturday, what they're doing is promoting their event, and they're telling all these kids to come to their event, especially the younger kids that just came out, or, you know, they're new or fresh or just been out for a year or two. And so they're, like, forcing them to come to the ball. And a lot of these kids don't know really how the ball scene works, really. They're just getting, you know, their foot in the door. So a lot of these kids are just listening to what this icon say, or this legendary person say, or just whoever is throwing this ball. And it's like they're being forced to come to an event that they may not have the funds for, or they may be prostituting or doing whatever, X, Y, and Z. And it's like, I don't think that's right to force someone to come to your event. Like, you're really forcing them to come to your event. And if you don't, then, oh, I'm going to chop you at the next ball and this. And I know people that get scared, or that's getting threatened letters from other, you know, house leaders doing this shit.
But
yeah, I've heard of that as well.
But you know what about that?
No, but that's when the leaders
and
I say
about that as well is the young kids as well. They have a mind of their own, and they can grow. Just like I said, you know, this weekend we had, you know, someone came down and visited and stuff like that. Well, actually, they were in town visiting their family for the holiday, but the bottom line is, you know, they, when we talked about balls, no, I don't go to balls. I may go to a ball every now and then, or I may go to a Kiki function every now and then, but I'm trying to get out of high school. And, you know, I'm getting ready for college. You know, again, it all boils down to what that person is doing in their lives. If they're focusing on their career, if they're focusing on their job, if they're focusing on their education and stuff, then no one can lure them into anything. That's where we have a lot of kids now that are young that don't have minds of their own, and they're being lured into these positions and lured into the ballroom scene and stuff to go out there and win a grand prize. But like Mr. Man is saying in the chat room, a lot of these people are just young because they're unemployed. They're depending on grand prizes to survive. That's why a lot of the, you know, that's why there's just so much tension. I mean, this topic, that's why I called it part one, because we'll probably talk about this forever. You know, it just all goes into so many things. But we've been saying, and I said it last night, and let's say it tonight, it all starts with ourselves. We have to start with ourselves. We have to start with ourselves, like Alexis broke down last night, her and her 10 kids, and the bond that she has with her 10 kids. If we all stood up and took what we had in our circle, or the people that are affiliated with us, and we guided them in a certain direction, then maybe it'll start with us and with who we are with, and maybe they can take it. Because we know, Alexis, I'm sure you know, your kids, your 10 kids probably have 10 kids of their own. How many people's grandma are you and aunties are you and stuff? But the message and the teaching that you give your kids, they're teaching to the next one and the next one and the next one, and maybe it can help, because there's so many flaws in everything that is happening. So many flaws. It's so sad when I'm sitting here seeing 18, 19, 20-year-olds in jail for the next couple of years because of the things that they were doing. Or I'm seeing 18, 19, 16, 17-year-olds that are, don't know how to, you know, get the right type of medication so they can live a healthy life. And all the rest of that stuff, or the ones that are young and they, you know, they're being abused by their family and they don't know what's going on. It's just so much. And then they run to this ballroom scene because they hear mother, father, brother, sister, but yet then it's just so much happening with that. So it's just really, really a lot. It's a lot. Let me go to another caller. 917-792, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hey, what's going on? It's
I don't know nobody's number but heart.
I'm so sorry. I'm laying in my bed tonight, so I didn't put the names by the numbers. But I'm so you know, I love the state of emergency. Can we please get back to the state of emergency? This ballroom shit is no one's emergency. It's no shade. I am so tired of hearing about this motherfucking bullshit with all these hypocritical ass faggots. The emergencies that we're dealing with right now is that we have 13 and 14 and 15-year-old children in this boardroom seeing this thing that is homeless and put out of their house because they're gay, homosexual, transsexual, bisexual. They're dealing with HIV and AIDS and stuff. That's what we need to be talking about. That's a state of emergency. This boardroom shit is no state of emergency. Fuck all of this shit. Fuck icons, fuck legends and everything. Half of these bitches, they got a pot to piss in or a window to fucking throw it out, but they gotta sit here and make motherfucking rules. You got 32 fags that sit in a room and supposed to be the ballroom council, and they sit and they all conversate together as a whole, but then six or seven of them get off the phone and get on three-way and have their own motherfucking agenda. I'm so tired of fucking hearing about this bullshit. It's giving me a headache, making me want to take an Oxycontin.
Can I say, Kelly, I love you down, but girl, you're speaking from an angry place right now, and I'm just going to leave it at that. We're not going to go back and forth. You're speaking from an angry place. Realistically speaking, all the problems that you have named did not just start. Bitches have been homeless for eons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
didn't y'all
yeah,
say
yeah,
motherfuckers?
My generation. No shit.
Yeah,
didn't y'all
and
say these motherfuckers
and,
was... Hold
and
on,
everybody...
Tell
me. And, go ahead.
Yeah,
didn't y'all say... Didn't you used to say how motherfuckers used to sleep on the pier? Because they
yeah.
didn't have a place to go. They
yeah.
didn't know what they didn't know where to get medicine from. And it's,
mm-hmm.
and once again, you cannot fault nobody but themselves. Bitch, they giving away medicine out there. You mean to tell me you two motherfucking worry about a bitch going to motherfucking say she saw you down there getting your meds, but she down there getting her motherfucking meds that you don't want to go get your medicine? Bitch, you better get in the motherfucking ditch and die your goddamn self. You cannot blame nobody for nobody else's fucking mistake. Stop. Stop it right now. Bitch, they got a building down on motherfucking 8th Avenue. If you sick, bitch, take your ass down there, get your motherfucking assistance, and they will help you.
But
no, you rather run around the motherfucking village and suck dick and tell motherfucking lies. Fuck you, bitch. Die.
Wow.
Alexis, but
so
why did you say
wow.
that I'm speaking from a place of anger?
Kelly, you
know,
see that voice?
I'm being honest.
You know that,
I want to know why am I speaking from a place of anger. Because if you're talking about that video, I put on a show for the girls on Monday night about that video just because that's what the girls wanted. They wanted a feedback. But I can give two fucks about being a legend, being an icon, being a statement or a motherfucking star. Because at the end of the fucking day, that does not pay my bills. That does not put food on my table. Bitch, I can't go and put that on my motherfucking resume and tell somebody I am a legendary face. I am a legendary real. They're going to look at me and say, what is that? That's a fucking kiki. Let's have a kiki. They're going to kiki me out the office. So that doesn't, bitch, I put on a show for the girls when they want me to entertain all that buffoonery that the girls sit up there and they talk about. The girls that sit there and talk about that all the time, they sit there and talk about that because they don't have a life outside a motherfucking ballroom. So that's what they need to talk about, and they need that to take and build themselves up because they don't have shit, they ain't never going to be shit, and they ain't worth motherfucking shit.
Oh, and that's true, Kelly, that's true. I'm not, listen, one thing about it, bitch, I ride with you because I know you. I know who you are. I know that person that you get on the radio show and portray, that's not you. But what I'm saying is, Kelly, we cannot. This is our community. Ballroom is our community at the end of the day. Bitch, we can say this is extracurricular, but guess what? Bitch, well, this is our motherfucking life.
You made it our main focus. Exactly.
It's no shade.
You made it our main focus.
It's no
okay.
shade. We might not want to admit it, but bitch, this is our motherfucking life.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
We have to learn that we cannot listen, baby. I love everybody.
But yeah, we could definitely say this. I can't speak for everybody, but I can say this is a part of my life. I'm not gung ho about it like I was years ago. A lot
right.
of people are still holding on to what they had in the past instead of letting it go. Everybody has to learn that this is a community that everybody elevates and goes up. And at the end of the fucking day, what you did in the past is not what you're doing now. You need to learn to let go and let other people nurture something to go on to where it needs to go to. And
that's
people just don't. People just but no. But it's a lot
right.
of people. It's a
that's
lot of people
said.
In this scene that wants this power and wants to hold on to the power so fucking tight because this is all that they fucking
thing.
Have. And
yeah.
if they let it, and it's no motherfucker. Fucking shade in this thing. And people tell me all the time not to say this, but bitch, if those old bitter bitches let it motherfucking go, bitch, they're gonna croak and motherfucking die.
I agree with you.
You know what?
Hold on
a second. You know what?
Okay.
That comes from someone. I used to know someone who their father is like in their 60s, late 60s or maybe mid 60s or whatever, and they one time said to me, Jasmine, do you know why I still go out there and bust my ass and work so hard? Because if I sit back at home and just do nothing, I feel like I'll just roll over and die.
Exactly.
I can give y'all a prime example. The projects that I grew up in, this lady, I knew this lady ever since I was like 10 years old, ever since I was a little fucking boy. I knew this lady. Every morning I would see this lady getting on the elevator when I would leave to go to school. This lady worked for years. This lady retired. The week after this lady fucking retired from getting up all these years and me seeing her going to work and everything, a week after this lady retired, the lady fucking died.
Well, Kelly, you have to realize, you ever notice how a married couple, when one dies, is after they've been married for so many years, after one dies, slowly but surely, the other one dies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to realize that a lot of, just like us,
that's a purpose.
They don't have, some of us don't have lives outside of ballroom. But you also have to remember that they have been where we at now.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are, that's history. You can never take Stuart's icon status or the things that he has done for ballroom or the things Andre have done or the things Tony has. You can't take that from them. You can't. There is nothing you can do or say over the past 30 years what they have done to ballroom. They say, oh, bitch, shut the fuck down. You can't. You have to let them have their lives. Now,
but
at the same time, you are right. They need to be grooming the Harolds, the Rodneys, the Shay Shays, the Sanayas, the whoever else is, and it's time for them to let them go ahead and run this shit.
They're not going to.
But you can't just tell them to sit the fuck down either.
Mm-hmm.
But let me say this. Okay. A lot of these people that are saying they want to take back statuses like legends and icons and all this shit and all these titles, a lot of those girls been locked up for years, and they just getting out recently. So, the years that you were gone or you have not been participating in the scene, I mean, you have girls that's been doing their shit. So how can you take back someone's status, really, if you don't know their history?
Like I said, 15. I think that's just all talk. I don't see that.
Ain't nobody taking back nothing.
Right. Yeah.
We need to understand that because we're just going based on what was said in the video.
Okay.
Ain't nobody taking about nothing because nobody wants to look like the bad person.
Right. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. Because I would think it would cause more confusion, and it's
going to
be just a mess. It would just be a big mess.
It would just turn into a big mess. Nobody wants to look like the bad person.
But then you have on that same hand these same bitches that want to sit back and they want to talk about they want to take back people's statuses because what people do, they don't know what people did. But then they're on that same token, Miss Thing, they running around and they trying to make other bitches legends, Miss Thing, that only been out for 3 years and they do shit.
Right. Kelly, you want girlfriends.
That's what you call girlfriends, Kelly.
Once again, I'm gonna say this. Nobody not taking away nothing.
They ain't gotta take anything. I'll give it to them. They can have it.
It does sound like you're coming from a better place. It's not coming.
You know why? Let me tell you. Let me be 100% real with y'all. You know why? Let me tell you one thing, bitch.
You know what, Kelly?
Hold on, Alexis. Let me tell y'all something. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all, okay? Bitch, I don't need, and I put this on Barbara Dolores Hunter, I don't need legend or icon or couture or Mizrahi behind my motherfucker. I don't need legend or icon in front, and I don't need Mizrahi or couture behind. Kelly by herself is already a motherfucking brand, bitch. I don't need any of that. The girls know my name just by me saying Kelly. Some of these girls, they need that. I don't need it.
Because
you can just call me out
as
Kelly, and the girls are going to give me my L's by calling me out as just Kelly.
That's true, Kelly, but you're not going to let someone take your status, though.
Thank you.
Period.
Thank you. That's all. Y'all remember on, what was Tyler Perry movie when they was on the beach? What was the name of the movie? Why Did I Get Married Too?
Yeah.
And remember the guy who always used to say, you feel me?
Uh-huh.
Who what was his little phrase?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Why'd I get married too?
Why'd I? The Michael.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You talk about the husband. Yeah, go ahead.
Every time you say, I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. That's what I feel like.
Okay. And I'm gonna tell you, and I'm gonna quote a movie from you, okay, motherfucker. I'm gonna quote motherfucking Tina Turner when she was in motherfucking court. All the motherfucker I need is my motherfucking name. He can have every motherfucking thing else.
But you've already you've already become legendary, Kelly, Miss Rahi Couture. So if they take it back, you're still gonna be known as that. So you've already made that name, Kelly. So if they don't never call you legendary again. 10 years from now, you can say, you know what? I was once legendary overall directing mother, Kelly Mizrahi. And it don't matter, Kelly.
I mean, do we seriously think if Kelly come out there for legendary realness and say Stewart is somebody chop her, do you think that she's just going to take it with a grain of salt and just, you know,
no,
I mean, come on.
The table over in the bar. It'd be a whole lot of confusion.
Let me go to another caller. 415-574, you're on the air.
Hello. I was just listening to like some of the comments and stuff, and I'm somebody like still relatively, I guess you could say, new to the ballroom scene. But just from what I've seen from just walking like in Atlanta, Baltimore and stuff, just listening to some of the comments. First thing I think that's what's really going on with the ballroom scene is the houses need to pay back to family, like giving that family more kids. Some houses do, but not all houses do. Also, pinning parents, not just pinning somebody as a parent of the house just because they're, oh, she's simply saying she's legendary for it, she turns her category, let's make her mother because she's deep. No. Can she really lead kids? Are kids going to follow behind her? Can she really groom the next Sim Queen legendary face? Same thing with realness for guys. Like, okay, yes, he does realness, he turns his category, but can he also lead other boys into realness, not just in the ballroom scene, but everyday life? Also, one on with the icons, with passing the torch, I think some of the older icons are probably scared to pass the torch because they just see how what state the ballroom scene is in right now. Also, like, some ways I was thinking and seeing that maybe we could fix ballroom is, like, not just having HIV testing, but also having, like, booths where you can get your GED, find out about colleges, find out about job opportunities, things like that. That's pretty much it.
Thank you so much, caller. Let's go to 773.
That's a really good idea. I never thought about that. That is really, really a good idea.
But that goes back to what I said earlier.
Yeah, the job fairs. Yeah, job fairs.
We gotta start at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Start writing some.
773-778. You're on the air.
Hey everybody. This is Devin.
Hey.
Hey.
What's going on? I've been listening to all the comments and stuff, so I just had to, you know, I'm not gonna say a whole lot, but I'm saying this is. The only thing I will say is this, for me, is a reason for structure. Y'all keep saying, what's the purpose of people coming together to sit around there and say, well, what we will, won't, what we will and what we won't do. But all of this is an argument for the situation of why it should be structured. It's time for structure. Hell, they got structure in fantasy football leagues and soccer teams and shit. This is not real soccer teams, but I'm talking about like regular soccer teams. People are sitting around here fighting for trophies and trying to get stuff, and they argue and they compete every weekend and they do all this shit. Why shouldn't the ballroom scene have some type of structure? It's time. I'm not saying that it needs to be a complete, total, like, democracy as opposed to, like, probably parliamentary standards or something like that, but it's something that can be done to stop all this shit. It shouldn't be no reason for nobody to be sitting around talking about where they gonna snatch status, because if it's something that was given unanimously, then it can't be taken. If it's something that's supposed to be given purposely, then it can't turn around there.
Right.
So this is the reason why people keep saying, well, we don't need to have this, and we don't need to give all that, and we don't need to have all this stuff. No, this is exactly the reason why we need to have it. Because people keep saying, we're going to take this and we're going to take that. If you got a three-fifth or a two-thirds majority of them saying you're not doing shit, ain't nothing they can do about it.
Right. You're not taking nobody nothing. You're not doing nothing. And if you got a two-thirds or a three-fifths majority of how people actually got it, then they obviously can't say shit about it. The problem is if it's only been one or two people running around here doing it, and when it's one or two people running around here doing it, ain't nobody else got it. Then everybody else runs around and say, oh, well, yeah, they got it, but look who gave it to them. You know, it was a girlfriend thing or some other bullshit that they come up with because it's some new shit.
Right.
We always keep saying that it's no reason not to do it. But if y'all get on a conversation and have at least about a good two-hour conversation about why we got such a fucked up ass scene, then obviously it's now a point then where we need to actually have it up in there.
Well,
it's
yeah,
now time to start instituting it.
I don't think that anybody's disagreeing with the whole structure thing. I think it's how it's going to be formed or all that, because I know a lot of people have concerns about that. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're absolutely right.
I
would agree with people about when they say, yeah, it's a way that it needs to be formed, because right now it's too many people that think that's one of the main issues I think that we have here in the Midwest, is that everybody has a fucked-up-ass attitude thinking, like, oh, if their status comes out of New York, then it's better than if it comes from somebody
right.
in this region.
It's
right.
not,
that
it's
is
fair.
A problem.
It's
the same thing with some shit in the
anymore.
South and the West,
it's
too.
It's just not fun anymore.
It's not going to be competition. It's not going to be spirited. Oh, another thing, Jasmine. It's been balls going on in Chicago since 1991. Please stop saying wasn't no balls in here in 1999.
Baby.
We had like three
okay.
of them that year.
When I was there in 99, where was there a ball at?
Lee Malone gave two balls at at Congress Hall that year. I was actually at one of those balls that they actually gave in 1999.
Okay, well, to me, it wasn't shit going on.
If it wasn't going on, if they didn't properly promote and advertise between 1991 to 2000, there were tons of balls going on.
Yeah, you really don't hear about a lot of Chicago balls here now either.
You do hear about Chicago balls. It's always a setup.
Every
balls as I've heard Chicago has had, as I've been on the scene, I haven't seen many flyers or anything like that for them up here. I'm not saying that they don't have them.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know why?
And I used to perform at the Generator every week. And there was nobody up in the Generator just passing out flyers for any ball.
The ball thing was very highly going back then.
But you know, the only person that could get me to Chicago is Tiana. That's it.
Exactly.
No one,
this is the thing. If the only people that can get y'all somewhere is one or two people, then I would probably say then that's on y'all. I do say that the people who give balls in Chicago, most of them, or in the Midwest, some of them probably should not be throwing them, and ain't no bullshit about it because they do turn around and tend to be fucked up.
Michael,
if you can't get to a ball.
But you can't say the Midwest, like, the balls be fucked up, because balls are fucked up everywhere, y'all.
Exactly. So when people start saying, well, it's a Midwest thing, it's far from being a Midwest thing. It's a whole lot of balls I heard that end in fights, don't give out no money, they don't end, and they don't do it. But whenever it's a Midwest thing, then everybody say, oh, what do you expect? It's a Midwest.
The Midwest attitude has always been this, and I've been walking balls in the Midwest since 99. Our attitude has always been us against everybody else, because that's how we feel here. So because we don't always heavily promote in your areas, or because we don't always go out those areas, because we feel like we're not always accepted in those areas. A lot of people in this, I don't personally, but a lot of people in the Midwest feel like that, so they pay shit over there, and they do things on their own terms, and that's why everybody always has something to say about the Midwest.
If you pay it, it's because it was something that needed to be paid. No shade. At some point in time, you don't keep arguing with somebody about people that's been coming here to tell them, oh, well, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, because one or two girls threw a ball and they managed to get so-and-so down here,
right,
don't mean it ain't been no seed till some girl got down here and started some shit.
Right.
You know,
so don't go through that bullshit and start saying, oh, well, this does not exist.
because one girl started coming down here throwing the ball, or another girl that started coming down here throwing balls, that actually the earlier balls were all the balls that actually finished.
Well, I had two bad experiences down there. I went to two balls down there besides Tiana Ball, and this was back in 2006 and 2007, and the girls called the police to shut the ball down. Both
it was two balls, and no, it was two balls, and it's still two balls. That happened in about three or four other cities and states, but it was a bunch of shit that left bad taste in a whole lot of other girls' mouths.
No,
but
let's just make this clear. Let's just make this clear. The Midwest, a lot of the girls are infamous.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we hear you.
Infamous.
Oh, it's no shade to you, baby. But I didn't start hearing about Chicago, and I don't even like this bitch like that, Mister. But I ain't start hearing about Chicago until Marco came to New York as a G-Law shade. How you figure that, Kelly? When I met you in 2000, when you came down here for the Omni Elite Ball, and that was the first time I ever met you, and you actually walked that ball.
I did.
So how you didn't miss it? Because I got it on tape and I was there too. And that was the very first time I ever met you.
And that's probably the whole time Marco became a G-Law shit down here.
Selvin even commentated the first category.
I don't remember.
Oh, well, child, we need to start putting stuff on tape, baby. Because by the time you came down here,
y'all ain't got no tapes and no footage. I remember
baby,
seen none of that.
Baby, if a girl tells you that
you
she can't
what?
Even remember being okay, here, then, child, how the hell, it don't matter whether it was on tape or footage or
well,
not.
If a girl can't remember being in a state mistake, what does that speak for the state?
Okay.
That means
the
girl was blasted boots. That's what it sounds like.
Oh, no, baby, I just started getting blasted. I wasn't blasted in 2000. I was a virgin.
All I know is, like, every time we went down, like, the boys went down to Midwest, we always had a good time. I never thought there was a problem with the ball scene down there. It was
there
a really good
a problem
time.
With the ballroom scene down there. They got their own ballroom scene, like New York's got their own ballroom scene. Their ballroom scene was a little different from ours. It's always been like that.
Well, balls has not been fun since back in the Mark Ballroom and the YWCA and stuff.
Exactly.
That's when balls was fun. Balls is not
you
fun
know why,
anymore.
Kelly? You know why balls was fun then? Because we were young. We was there just to have fun. We wasn't
thank
all
you.
Politic bullshit.
Right.
And then, it wasn't all about the Butch Queens this thing. It was all about the motherfucking girls in this thing.
Yeah.
All
it
the
was.
Girls would come out. They would come out for sex, siren. They would come out for body. They would come out for face, this thing. And it's not like now. It's not like
it.
Now when you know a bitch is walking face, this thing. She's sitting in the back, hotter in the back of the ball, this thing. These bitches used to be outside in the cars for hours,
yes.
this thing. I don't even see girls. Girls come in with book bags now, Miss Thing. I mean, back in the days, girls used to come in with their racks, Miss Thing, and their garment bags, Miss Thing, and everything. Now girls is coming to the ball and they feck is in a book bag. What the fuck?
Let me get to this caller really quickly. Okay. So I can go out and smoke a cigarette. 704-907, you're on the air.
Marcus. Hey, y'all, it's Marcus.
Hey, Marcus.
I think the structure is eventually going to come from the outside industry that's going to take the ballroom scene over. Don't think you guys are going to see that
much. But eventually, shows like, you know, the television stations are already interested in doing balls, and they're going to, I think they're going to come in and take over. And, you know, even with the whole W Hotels ball thing tonight, like, they had all these famous people there. They're not going to let, you know, these celebrities come out to foolishness. They're going to slowly probably take over the scene. And,
oh, no,
you
no,
know,
no, no, baby.
So
they
what,
can do what they want. They can do
they
what they want in their world, but they ain't never going to be able to get their hands on this one.
Baby, the Mighty Dollar means a lot. I'm telling you now, so if
it's
it only
Mighty
takes...
Dollar, but let me tell you something. This has been an underground business for over 40 years.
That's what
they
we
will
say.
Not get their hands
but
on
if
this.
Bravo
me.
TV right now said they were giving a $50,000 away to house with the most trophies, I bet that ball would be mandatory for every house
should be there. Every
it
house
can be
there.
It can be mandatory, but let me tell you something. They can go with that idea, but just like they give out $5,000 and $3,000 and whatever dollars, them kids are going
and
right to
let me tell you
night.
Something.
Them kids
and baby,
are going
and y'all
night.
Seen, and y'all seen, and y'all seen it. Everybody seen how long myself and Jasmine was in the back with those four houses for that $5,000 mistake. If they was giving away $50,000 mistake, bitch, after the girls finished tearing that motherfucking hotel down, bitch, they would not come back.
Exactly. Let me say this.
It will be a mess.
Exactly. Oh, no, we forgot about how evolution happens. When we came out, we were young, we were vibrant, and all we wanted to do was have fun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now that time has come along, no, we're not as young as we used to. We're not as young as we used to be. We don't have the energy like we used to. And no, we don't find it as interesting as we used to. So no, stop saying balls are not fun because you have gotten older.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you have found other things that
culture
is. The
balls are fun for the kids. The
balls
like
are
scary movies don't scare you no more. Like, you know?
The
you
balls
know,
are still fun because the younger kids are enjoying themselves.
Yeah, the younger
they
kids
are
enjoying themselves, but we talk about the craft and everything that we put into the ballroom scene back in the days. The craft is not there anymore. These motherfucking big lot. Listen, no, hold on. Let me no. Because these big lot effects that these girls is coming out with, okay, it's fucking ridiculous. Back
but
in the days,
you
had.
Hold on.
Back in the days, you had time to prepare. Miss A, let me tell you something. Back in the days, Miss A, I would get $5 a week from my grandmother for motherfucking allowance, Miss A, okay? I had time to save up that $5. And the week before the Revlon ball, I was missing $5. And I had to scrape up another $5 to make sure I was at that Revlon ball, Miss A. Okay, now there's a ball every motherfucking weekend, Miss A. It's no fun. Okay, back in the day, it was fun. And I'm not talking about the fun in the scene. You were anticipating on going to that next ball because the next ball was 3 or 4 months away. Every weekend, it's a fucking ball. That takes the fun out of ballroom. It takes the creativity from these kids out of ballroom. And balls were stretched out more like it was back in the day. The kids would have more time to prepare, and they will bring the category correctly, and they will know what the category is actually calling for. They get a categories mixed up from different balls because there's a ball every motherfucking week.
So you saying just because they come out with a new game every day, you got to go buy it?
Thank
Some
you.
People do. Jasmine do.
That's because she enjoy that. Kelly, listen. You, once again.
If Deathlock 3 comes out at 2:30 tonight, mistake, Jasmine's going to be on the motherfucking line to have that motherfucking game.
Well, whose fault is that? Once again, whose fault is that?
That's my fault.
So who the fuck can you blame? This just because they have a ball every week do not mean you have to go.
I think the
everything. Listen, everything you say, Kelly, it all boils down to one thing: self.
I think the ballroom scene needs to go back. I think the ballroom scene needs to go back to house balls and the legends ball and just have mini balls.
Exactly.
That's what I think.
I agree with you. But
that.
Once again, where did that go back to? Home. We have to start at home. If Andre would stop, because I don't want nobody. Oh, that fat bitch. Okay, listen. If Andre would stop,
and Albertian.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. If Andre would stop, I'm just using these. Trace from having a ball this week. Felicity from having a ball that week. B. Mizrahi from the West Coast to have a ball that week. Joelle in Texas from having a ball that week. Then you wouldn't have this problem. If Fred wouldn't let Divine have a ball this week, let Derek have a ball next week, and let this one have a ball, we wouldn't have this problem. But because, as leaders,
we don't want to tell our kids no, and we think it's cute that they're having a ball because we can go and get four together. You can't say nothing. It starts at home with self. I don't give a fuck what you say, how you say it. It starts with you.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question related, though. How many balls? Okay, because maybe I'm not realizing it. The ballroom scene has expanded to different areas, but
right.
A lot of people ain't traveling the way they used to. So
true.
What's wrong with there being a ball in Baltimore this week and a ball in South Carolina next week and
no,
a ball
it's every
in Virginia?
Day. It's every day.
No,
that's
every
what
day.
I keep saying.
You
don't
balls,
have to go. But
you don't have to go
to that ball. That's what
Let
I
me
just
tell
said.
You. I'm going to be 100% honest with y'all.
There you go.
Let me be 100% honest with y'all. This motherfucking mainstream ballroom scene is no more. The Kiki
okay.
scene has took the fuck
I
over.
Said, I
why,
said
Kelly?
Same
why?
Thing.
Why is
you
the
Kiki
scene taking
over?
Because you know why? And it's a fucking shame. It's a fucking shame that they can have 4 hours in a venue and get through 25 fucking categories, Grand March, LSS, and everything in 4 hours and get through everything.
Don't you remember
because,
when the mainstream used to be like that?
Yeah, but
yeah.
You know
okay,
why? You know why?
They
because they don't have.
They haven't evolved to where we are.
Because they.
Y'all
you know, because
forgot
they,
about evolution. This shit don't stay the same every day. Bitch,
because,
you don't look the same like you look when you were 16.
They don't have the politics and all the shade mistake. And when the mainstream legends and icons come to their balls, they shut them down and they put them right in their motherfucking place.
They just last night they said that they praise them. Which one is it?
No, if you're a legendary icon and you go to a Kiki scene and you want to walk, say you walk a category, say you legendary for Vogue Femme and you try to walk Vogue Femme at a Kiki scene, they'll get you right together and you'll lose to a rickety-crickety girl.
Y'all keep blaming this and keep blaming. Just listen. Start with self.
That is fair.
Start with your home. We can't point fingers at nobody.
But you keep saying we gotta start with our home. How can we start? We started with our home, but we got our kids that's in these Kiki houses, and they running better balls than we are.
What does that tell you?
Well, Kelly,
that tells me that it's something wrong with the motherfucking elders, and we not need to stop blaming the kids and blame these old bitches.
Kelly, wait. Those people those kids don't have to come out of their pockets like the mainstream.
They don't.
So, you know what? A lot of problems lie because when money comes into play, motherfuckers get sensitive. Motherfuckers get touchy.
Yeah, and they ain't got to come out their pocket. And everybody talk about we need to look to the icons and the pioneers to fix this mistake. But if you got these motherfucking 15 and 16 and 17-year-old kids can sit here and write motherfucking grants to these organizations to get what they want, why the fuck can they not sit at the table with the legends and the icons and try to fix what's here and theirs is running better than what we got over here?
Kelly. Listen to you.
You're making an excuse.
I just said everything you just said. Did I not?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Exactly. See, that's why we can't all come together. Because everybody don't want to listen. We want to say what the fuck we got to say, and that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, because I want to say I want to voice my opinion, but I want everybody to voice their opinion together. And but not
dude,
after
we
sit here after we sit
Kelly.
After we sit here as a 32 as a group, mistake. Then 7 of y'all get on and y'all get a conference call and y'all have your own sidebar agendas.
Kelly, how many times have you ain't like this shit is not every day.
Oh well, you know that's why I took myself out the group.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. You can say the Kiki Ball scene. Maybe we can take some structure from them because, you know, maybe because every Kiki Ball I've been to, there has never been a large cash category. Now, am I wrong? Or do they have large cash categories?
No, they don't.
Hold on. What do you mean by large? Like $1,000?
The most they give out is $1,000 for the house with the most trophies. All the other categories, they have like $200 face categories or $200 Vogue film category, but the $1,000 is the limit that they give out at the Kiki Balls.
Okay.
Well,
and are the kids scared? So the kids aren't scared to walk those balls?
No, they're not. Enrique, when I tell you, Enrique, these motherfucking kids come out, it be so many motherfucking girls all for these categories.
And
it be on point. And it be the same girl. It be the same girls that come to the balls and they just sit around and watch at the balls. They pay their money to go to the balls, but they just sit around and watch at the balls. And it's only like $10 or $15 to get in. You see, the last three balls we had here in the ballroom scene was a motherfucking flop mistake. Did y'all see that motherfucking video from that motherfucking Legends Ball that they had at the motherfucking lab mistake?
That shit looked like
the motherfucking awards ball from last year.
You know what?
When I was in New York in July, I went to that G-Man Kiki Ball. That was absolutely the best ball I've been to all year.
Thank you. And you know what? And that's what I wanted to say. Even their effects, because I heard some people reading that some of those children's effects was so on motherfucking point that I came together.
And that's what I'm talking about. They can bring those effects to the Kiki Ball. Why not bring those effects back to the main screen? That's what's making the ballroom scene not fun anymore, because the girls are
not
bringing those effects.
Thank you. Thank you. There you go, Mark. And that's where we get right back around to, because they know they're not going to get through.
And that girlfriend going to get the vote. It's no matter how late her dip is and no matter how uncreative she looks, you know goddamn well that panel is shifting over to her. So what the fuck is the point?
There you go. And that's where it all lies. And that's where it all comes from. Because they know that they won't get a fair shake in the real scene. That's why they're having so much fun over there, because that bullshit is like dead. They just have to get life. That's all. Just get life.
Yeah, because they don't have the politics and say, because you can have girls in the Kiki house and say, if somebody in her house ain't turning, they voted for the other person.
I've seen that as well.
What I like about the Kiki scene is that they are not scared to chop anyone. They're not scared to ever chop anyone. They will chop you in a heartbeat if you don't bring the category right. Versus in the real ballroom scene, it seems like the girls are waiting for Kelly or Rodney to chop somebody or something. Like no one wants to chop on the judge panel, and they're waiting for Kelly to be the bad bitch or Rodney to be the bad bitch or, you know, someone else, or even Alexis when she's on the panel at times. So, like, come on.
But you know what's something else, though? They don't mind picking over the it girl either. They don't mind being fair. If you're turning it for that particular night, they're going to pick you. They're not going to pick this, like, because they have their own legend. They're not going to pick their legend icon.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pick the girl that's truly turning it.
But you know what? But it comes back to a whole thing. Their energy is different. Their spirit is different. They want to compete. They want to have fun. They want to keep with their little girlfriends. They can't see often. They have.
You know what? And you know what? I think next week, State of Emergency show needs to be. I think we need to reach out to the Kiki girls with Twiggy and get some of those Kiki girls up here to find out I think we need to reach out to Twiggy and find out. Let's get those Kiki girls, Twiggy and Little Mama, and those girls up there that have successful balls to find out what do they do over there that make they seem the way it is, so we can bring some of that structure.
And just that you mentioned that name, Twiggy and Lil Mama. Think about who these people was. That was the Vogue Femme Mizrahi. That was the Garcon child. Think about how shaded they done got. Think about how that Lil Mama child done came to escalate on all these different paces and chewed these little girls up. Think about how Twiggy was walking.
I say that all the time. Every time Twiggy walks, I gag. They sit there and they let Twiggy sit every motherfucking bitch down. They get to the last battle and they let the bitch win the cash over Twiggy. I gag all the time.
Or they chop her. They always throw shade at her. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is why they are there and not here anymore. That's what I'm saying. They're going to come and take over. They're going to have their own thing, because pretty soon people from here are going to stop coming here because of that bullshit and go there and have fun.
Rich.
This is not fun.
When I tell you, baby, going to a Kiki ball is like going back in the days when you used to go to the Mark Ballroom and to the YWCA. It's fun with those kids, Miss Thing. Those kids caught up, Miss Thing, and they don't play, Miss Thing, and they all, and it is like how we used to be back in the days in the bathroom helping girls and everything. That's how they be in the bathrooms and in the corners and everything, helping each other. Bitch, I remember the last ball that I was, the last Kiki ball, the big one that they had that I went to a Brooklyn, bitch, I seen bitches in the bathroom with sewing machines, sewing bitches' outfits in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right, things they used to do here.
It is. It's extremely fun, and they have an extremely different attitude about going to the bar.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do.
Right, you can tell on Facebook. I'm friends with a lot of them. You can tell on Facebook the Poochies and the this ones and the that ones, and they're like, oh, we going to the ball, and you know they.
But you know what? But you know what they do?
All girlfriends are reading.
But you know what they do too? Because I'm in the Kiki's, the Poochie house, and I look at their room, and I don't talk in there, but I look in their room, and they have practices together, they have dinner together.
Right.
They are so in that Poochie room, they are so organized and so about each other and so having fun. You know, they like. You know, we all come over to such and such house, but we gonna smoke, and we gonna vogue, and we gonna cook dinner together. Or we gonna go and we gonna start working on the effects for this. They do it all the time.
The same way we have houses in different states, they have the same houses in different states.
Damn.
I watched somebody from New York. I got on a boat bus. I'm on my way to fucking Baltimore. This fucking people on their way to Virginia to the Kiki ballroom scene. I said, don't y'all got it? I said, isn't that your house up here? They said, no, we got a chapter down there. They on their way to Virginia to their chapter house.
Yeah, the Kiki scene have chapters everywhere, too, like the Midwest.
Yeah,
the West,
they do have chapters everywhere.
Yeah, they have chapters, tons of chapters here in the Midwest.
Let me tell you how serious it is, and I thought it was funny. There was, like, a member of another house that evidently this is over-faced kid that's in the Kiki scene, over. And they approached him. Several houses approached him to be in that house. And he gave, I'm not ready for that scene yet. I'm having too much fun here. I've seen what the real ballroom scenes give. Maybe when I'm 20 or 22. But right now, I just want to have fun. So I'm going to stay with the Kiki house. And they each gag. Because a lot of different people went there. So you coming, like, that's the thing. Some of these kids, they do cross over to the main scene. But there's a lot more that won't cross over.
Let me tell you something. When I was Mother Couture, I went to a Kiki ball. It was this bad little femme queen, Miss Thing, about 5'3", Miss Thing. Real as motherfucking rain, Miss Thing, bitch. I said, baby, I got to get her. They gave the rain. Kelly, so many girls have tried to get her. She does not do the main screen ballroom. They say she walk every motherfucking Kiki ball. I went to her. She gave the very love. I'm not into all of that. She said, I come out here and I play with the young girls, but I'm just the cunt. I go to school and I live my life. I wouldn't want to get involved in that.
Exactly.
That's just too much.
It's too much, exactly. And that's how they're feeling. And so you have these rock sockers, because I'm telling you, when I went to the Kiki ball, my jaw dropped, because I've never seen a half of these kids. And they were turned chewing it. Chewing.
Let me ask you a question about the Kiki scene.
Sure.
What time do their balls start?
I went to the one I went to in New York, the G-Man ball, I started like 5 p.m.
I went to one that started at six.
I went to one, wound up going to one with a friend at one of the little like Project Wilds in North. It started at 6 o'clock and it ended.
Yeah,
like
they'd be over by 9:10.
Yeah,
so
their balls are earlier.
Yeah.
Yep. And they'd be packed too.
Their balls do not last all night long.
Oh no, not at all.
Their balls is not about all the money.
Are they
their
getting high? Are they drinking and stuff at these balls?
No, they don't drink, they don't do none of that. And then you know what happens? This is what happens when they have these house balls. When they take and the money that they get from the door, because it's only $10 or $15 to get in at the most.
Yeah.
The money that they get from the door, it goes back into their house.
Right.
So when they get their next ball, because this is what they think about. Okay, we won this grand prize, this $500. We're going to put it to the top of our house ball so we can make it bigger. And that's what they do with their money. They collect the money and they save it. So the next ball, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. What is that?
Who is that breathing like that?
Yeah,
I heard that song. I don't know who that is. Is that Dave?
Who's leaving like what?
Kelly, Mark, or Alexis, the next time a big Kiki ball is going on, can you let me know so that I can come up to New York, because I really
I'm gonna let you know they about to have the Kiki Awards Board here in New York City. I think it's sometime in December. I'm gonna find out from Aisha and I'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, we can go up together because you're gonna get life, Jason.
Listen to us, mainstream. Now listen. We just had a conversation about Main Street. Now listen to what all of us is talking about. Going to the Kiki Bowl. This is what I'm saying.
Baby, let me tell you something. You go to one Kiki Bowl, miss. Y'all go to one or two Kiki Bowls, bitch. Y'all ain't gonna want to go back to the motherfucking Main Street Bowl unless it's one of your girlfriend's ball.
Shit, I haven't walked the ball in years. I'll go walk that. Now I'm going to walk that because I said I hear you got to walk something different aside from what you regularly walk.
Yeah, you can't walk.
Yeah.
You can't walk your regular category.
I ain't never walking the mainstream ball because I know what you bitches is doing. Go to hell. No, thank you.
Marcus, what do you feel about the Kiki thing?
No comment.
No, go ahead, B. I mean, you could definitely make a comment. I mean, we're all praising it. If you don't feel that way, by all means, say it.
Everyone has an opinion.
Let him talk.
I think it's people who are searching. I think there's some people in there who felt as though they would never have any power in the ballroom scene, and they started their own thing. Just like in Chicago, it's not called the Kiki scene. It's called a family scene. And to me, it's taken away from the major ball or the mainstream because they're doing their own thing, but they still have their own hierarchy. You know, they're still legends and icons, and there's still politics, and there's still, you know, the shade, per se, somewhere in it. It's just different people doing it. So, I mean, there's going to always
But you know what? I disagree to that for my market because at the end of the day, you're still dealing with. It's not taken away because these are children. You know, most of those people in that scene are under 18 years of age, so they're not taken
away
from
anything. Yeah, but the legends and icons that are in charge are like.
I know 17-year-old legends. I know 16-year-old legends in that scene. You have a different hierarchy. You have a different way of doing things, and these are still children who don't even always need to be exposed to the things that we're doing over here as far as doing drugs and drinking
Let me say this.
They do it over there, too.
They do it nowhere near as much as it is over here.
No, not much.
Yeah, they already buy 20s. They already buy 8-balls.
That's a lie. The underground Kiki scene group that I was in, those kids have, just like Marcus say, is just as much a shade. It's just as, but you know what? They handle it amongst themselves. So we have to remember, those are the same people, some of them are the same people that have walked these same balls. But Perry, Vicky, and the rest of them, they went and started their own shit. They have beefs. They have shade. I remember when Vicky left Perry House or something like that. Oh, and they were going back and forth in that group. They were reading. It was funny. I sat back in the group. I didn't say much. I actually didn't say nothing. But they did it, and it happened. We need to learn how to govern ourselves. Going over there, what is it going to do? Because guess what? At the time, you know what's going to happen? I don't know the fuck this little motherfucker talking to. She ain't talking to me like that. You know what? And then we're gonna be the legends and icons with the egos or whatever. Cause this little young bitch ain't gonna talk to me that kind of way.
No, but see, that's the thing. They got their thing structured already. You ain't coming there with that bullshit. Cause they are the ones. They are the legends. They are the icons.
I'm saying. You are gonna go there, and these little kids. Let me tell y'all something about people. People like to talk until they get in the situation. Then once they get in the situation, oh, this little motherfucker ain't going to tell me what I can and cannot do.
Oh, baby, you think not?
Let me tell you something, bitch. Y'all need to think realistically. Stop. Cut the bullshit.
D- they not
like
let me tell you, no, because
Alexis,
you don't go to the Kiki boards. You don't know.
Kelly, I was over on Mother Gucci. Listen, I'm telling you what the fuck I know.
Oh, well, I'm telling you what I know, bitch. They don't give a fuck if you're a legend or icon in the main screen. If you come to one of their boards and you think you're going to disrupt their board mistake, they going to put you in your motherfucking place.
I never said they wasn't. But you as an individual being 30 motherfucking 5 years old, you're going to get an ego and attitude say, bitch, you don't know who the fuck I am. And bitch, don't you even sit on this motherfucking phone and say you not.
Oh, of course, because your feelings, you're going to get
caught
in your feelings.
Oh, let me tell you something.
No, I'm not.
I hear what you're saying, Alexis.
No.
But respect is when respect is given, respect is given back.
So you mean to tell me y'all can go over there and respect them, but you can't respect the legends and icons here?
I went over there, bitch, and I gave much, baby. And little mama read the fuck out of me on the mic mistake. I was gagging. Okay.
But Kelly, what Alexis is saying is there's going to be a breaking point. Now, what if you go to the next Kiki ball and they read you again on the mic? And then you go to the next one and they read you again and they throw shade at whatever.
How can you
go over there to their scene and respect them, but these motherfuckers tell you something over here, and this, oh, bitch, a motherfucker ain't going to tell me what the fuck to do. Bitch, you don't know what the fuck. Stop it. I respect my children.
I don't care. I kind of agree with her. I mean, there's a difference. Because, you know, there in that scene, you're just coming into this scene new. Whereas in our scene, you have loads and loads of history. You know what I'm saying? We don't really know the history of that scene. So you're going to have to respect that scene until you get the ins and outs. But even if you, and by you seeing it being ran so well or them having so much fun, it dawns on you, I can't disrespect them. I'm not going to respect them because let them have their fun.
Y'all queens need to stop lying to yourself. Alexis, you're speaking for yourself, not everybody feels that way.
And
Enrique, listen, I don't have a problem.
Right. I don't have a problem either. I wouldn't act like that. I wouldn't care.
Y'all sitting on this phone saying that if they don't... Okay, you know what?
Although I agree to disagree with the legends and icons in the mainstream, I still respect them. I give respect where respect is due until you give me reason why I should not respect you. Then if you're not, respect is given to adults. So
that's true.
If you're not going to respect me, I'm not going to respect you.
Jason, let me ask you this. So you saying that you're going to go over to another scene, and just listen to me and let me know if I'm wrong, and maybe I'm misunderstanding what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
If I've been in this scene for 8 years, although I may not agree with a lot of the shit that's said and done, but because they have been here, they have paved the way. They have done what I wanted to do in the Bravo scene. The icons and legends that I'm not going to listen to what they say. I don't care. I might not agree with it, but because they have done it and they are doing it, they have paved the way. Respect. That's just like if your mama tell you, don't put your hand in that fire, but you see her go do it anyway, you will still go do it?
No.
Okay then. So you mean to tell me if these older legends and icons tell you this is not what we're going to do, but you're going to go over to the Kiki scene and listen to some 15 to 16-year-olds tell you, oh, no, this is not what you're going to do. Why you can't do it right here?
Because those teenagers, okay, let me take it, because you're taking it to one place, let me take it to another place. Because those 15 and 16-year-olds are not trying to have me. Those 15 and 16-year-olds are not trying to, or be in shade because I want either A, join the house, B, suck their dick, or C, fuck them. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the Macy's thing.
You don't know.
No, because you're taking it from one thing. I'm just giving you different examples of different things.
Enrique, let me answer Alexa's question for myself. Just like in the mainstream ballroom thing, I'm going as a spectator.
Right.
I'm going to that scene as a spectator.
Right.
I'm not going to tell them what to do. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, this is what I think you should do. I'm going there as a spectator. I'm going to their home. So I have to respect the rules and the regulations that go on in their house. Then if it was my playground, it's something different. So when you come to my house, you respect my rules. When I come to yours, I respect yours. I'm going as a spectator. My ego is going to be checked at the door.
Jason, your situation is so different.
Okay.
I'm talking to these old queens on this motherfucking phone.
Okay, not too much, Alexis.
These legends.
Okay.
And
not
these,
too much.
These one-name wonders.
Shut the fuck up.
On this motherfucking phone.
I don't give a fuck how much
you can't
say
even tell this bitch nothing
say
today.
I don't
let alone
what you say. When I go to those Kiki balls, Miss Say, I sit my fat ass down in the motherfucking back, Miss Say,
so
girl.
So you can't do it here?
I sit my
fat ass down
my fat ass down in the back, Miss Say. I wait till they call me out for LSS, so they call me out to judge, Miss Say. I sit there, Miss Say, and I don't say anything, Miss Say. I follow their rules and their regulations, Miss Say. Okay?
Sure.
I already been read once on the mic and been told to say this is not the main screen, and if you don't like what we do here, you can leave. So I follow their rules and their directions.
Okay, now who runs these organizations? Are they being ran by the individual houses or just different organizations?
No, they're organizations. They're whatchamacallit? Like the organizations that help sponsor the little free balls.
Okay.
A lot of them are.
Yeah.
A lot of them are, they're ran. Listen, let me tell you something about some of these houses. Some of these kids don't do that but get the kids together. You know, I wish Nicole was listening. Mother Unbothered. I wish she was here because guess what? The only thing those people are responsible for doing, see, we only on the outside looking in. Those people are responsible for getting the kids together. The organizations really run the functions.
Okay.
They get with these. So that's what I'm saying. It's a lot more responsibility in the mainstream ballroom. That's why it's not as much as a problem, because they don't have to deal with. They're just there to have fun. They don't have to worry about getting the ball together. The only thing they do is get the category together, maybe help get a flyer, and the organization help pay for all the stuff. It's not as
But Alexis, that's not to say anything, because in the mainstream, most people balls are paying for with subcontracting.
Well, you got to look at the success of the balls. Like, for instance, like the free ball in Baltimore. I mean, that was a successful ball, and that was sponsored. So maybe, I mean, is that where it should happen? Like, should organizations put forward, like, stuff like that, have that? Because you have, like decent balls when that happens, because nobody's egos or nobody's monies or anything of that is on the table. Everybody's equal or fair ground.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
When you say that, when you do that, the ballroom scene.
No, I'm just saying because she said, you know, which opposed what she said. I mean, was absolutely right, because those type of balls, like latex, they're successful balls.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all think that the people who, what's the word, who I guess pay their bills off, that you think they're going to go for that if it was only just, you know?
Would
you go for it, Marcus? Because you make a lot of money for balls.
I don't pay my bills off no balls. That's not even possible.
But I'm just saying, but you make money off of that.
Who makes money off a ball?
Oh, you don't, Marcus?
I will say this. For what I put into, I've never made, besides maybe the first 1 or 2 years, I've never made money from any ball that I've done because I put so much into it. There are parts of a ball that you will never really get back, per se. But I also do balls with groups of people, so it's different, you know. My situation may be different than other people. But
wait,
no,
Marcus,
I feel as I put just as much into it than I get out of it.
Marcus, so is that the reason why a lot of other ball promoters have sponsors now? Because this is like some new thing that I keep hearing about this year, about this sponsor thing, and I don't get it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. This is what's going on. Okay, the CDC has basically discovered that the ballroom scene is being infected with HIV and AIDS at higher rates than most subcultures in what we call MSMs, men having sex with men. So when they look at all the different subsets of gay culture, pageantry, ballroom scene, you know, whoever, they're looking at us almost like people who go to sex parties. We are infected at higher rates, more so than even people who attend sex parties and orgies and things like that. So now they've come up with funding to basically educate us in a manner in which that's going to be familiar to us to get us to be able to become, you know, educated about prevention. So, yes, thousands upon thousands of dollars have been released to all these agencies to reach out to the ballroom scene. It doesn't have to be a ball. It could be education. It could be a movie night. It could be anything.
Right.
But, yes, they are. The CDC is targeting the ballroom scene because we're basically gagging them right now. We really are gagging them.
Yeah, but aren't the same people from the ballroom scene the same people from the bathhouse and the sex parties? I mean, they're just
not really.
That just come.
I mean, they probably are.
I mean, they just come from there? I mean, not to say it like that, but I mean, some of us participate in that. So what is? I mean, I don't really.
We're different from the real balls. I think
it's
from
like
real balls
from
the sponsor balls.
How do you separate the homosexual community from people who do bathhouses and people who
do sex parties and stuff?
Because we do the same thing. It's a lot of escorts in the scene.
What they'll do is when you get infected, when you become infected, what they'll do is they'll sit you down, and some people get a case manager, and they basically are trying to find out the origins of how you became infected. They'll ask you. You know, even when you get a test, sometimes they're like, well, when's the last time you had sex? Do you go to sex parties?
Right.
You know, I mean, and they'll basically have you answer this questionnaire. A lot of people who've become infected are being associated with ballroom. They're whether it's the Kiki balls, whether it's the mainstream balls, they are associated. Ballroom keeps coming up. So now the government now knows that, well, what's this going on? What is this ball culture that's going on? Why are all these people coming out? And that's why you're seeing a lot of ballroom people being hired by these agencies to basically teach them what they know about it. I'm really gagging how some people in ballroom who have really no education, no experience, are working for these agencies now. You know,
right.
They're teaching
because,
them what they need to know.
Because, Marcus, do you not know you can come to an agency and you can go through their class, and
well, right,
you
become certified, right?
Right now, I start class in February for Housing Works. This time next year, I'll be a certified caseworker working with Housing Works, reaching out to the community, trying to help people that's infected and affected get counseling and help. So it's not about you can go.
I applaud you for that. No shade.
Go to get a phlebotomy license, and you can work for an agency.
Right.
You can go to each agency and volunteer to get trained. I thank God I can go through JCP where I can get paid, but you can go to a volunteer at these agencies and work. So it's you don't have to be. I mean, of course, you know you have to have the basic, the high school diploma or GED, you know, just stuff like be able to pass the minimal basic skills test, and they will train you for everything else. But you don't have to be fully educated. It's not hard.
Well. See, what this is my problem with this, and this is kind of why I think that I'm kind of zoned out when it comes to this. As much education as they can give you, once someone, I would never be able to really deal hands-on with that because I really wouldn't know what to say to somebody once they found out they were positive. You know,
so you're not trained for that, though, Marcus.
Well, I'm not trained. Well, they aren't either.
So some of them, there's a lot of them that are.
No. Marcus, they are trained.
Exactly.
No,
they are trained.
They've watched. I mean, it's a difference. They've watched. They might have read a video. You go to a seminar, but it's no. It's different than even when a doctor. You know, in medical school, you learn about, you know, people dying and things like that, and then you have to go tell somebody's family. Oh, I'm sorry, they just passed. You know, it's totally different. On a, you know, right there on the scene, in the middle of the experience.
Yeah, let me tell you something. That's why a lot of people that do go through medical and all types of things and all types of radiology and things. That's why sometimes being a nurse is very hard, because the doctor doesn't have to report that the patient has passed away. It's the nurse that has to tell the family that the patient is now deceased. So a lot of times it's very hard, and that's exactly what I was in school for. But when I had to go through all of that and go through all of the motherfucking prereqs, and I said, oh, no, fuck this. I'm going to radiology, honey. I ain't telling nobody a motherfucking thing. I scan them. I see it, but I ain't saying nothing. Hey, you radiologists, you read this, and you let them know. I'm just scanning. You work on that. So, I mean, it's really stressful for people who are trained for it as well to tell somebody. I mean, I don't think it's any way to tell anybody, but it's really important that they know.
Right, it's really important that they know.
And I think that, you know, especially now, I think that's something, even with these sponsored events by these agencies and they coming in, they are proactively reaching out to people. I don't believe it's people going to them and begging them. They are literally coming to you and saying, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And, you know, they're intrigued, to say the least, but they're definitely trying to handle this problem. And that's why I think that the people who are dealing with these agencies, they need to kind of know what they're getting themselves into. Because, yes, you can get all of this money, but at the end of the day, these people have results they're trying to get. And the worst thing for the ballroom scene could do is to have the government watching us even more, you know, because, I mean, we already know what's going on. To have them watching us even harder may, you know, we don't
maybe
know what they'll
come up
with.
Out. Maybe you have to clean your act up. Maybe they have to clean. People have to clean their shit up, or watch what they do, or how they do things.
Or not even just that. I mean, to the point to where, just imagine. I'm kind of feeling like they're basically feeling as though, like, we need to be damn near quarantined, because we are. I mean, how to say it? We are really the reason why gay black men are infected the manner in which they are. And if they can control our subculture, they may have
I wouldn't say control. Control's a big word. They're not controlling
us. They're not focusing on pageants. They're not focusing on, you know, just those other little sub.